Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 24th day of May, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Brother Mike from Wales, a continued discussion. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Aryan Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambith, and of course, Brother Mike will let me know if I pronounced it correctly or not. Basically, it's saying good afternoon and Wales forever. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. In fact, Brother Mike expressly stated that he enjoys fielding questions from you listeners, so please consider calling in later on. Mike should be joining us here shortly. While we're in the question and answer mode, everybody is muted upon entering the chat until such time as I unmute you, and I do that when you press the question and answer button or ask question button on your computer, or if you're on a phone, you hit star 6. The website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's pastordan.net, and that's all together, no spaces. And we have the call schedule there, archives of past programs, lots of health information, daily news, guns and ammo section, all kinds of stuff on there. So check out the different pages of the website. Let's see here. Also, I wanted to remind you that the different email platforms lately have been trying to censor quite a bit, particularly Yahoo and Gmail. So if you use those two services, the emails sometimes get either sidetracked or the algorithms will pick out something out of your message and they won't send it through. Some of my friends are switching over to using Proton Mail, which comes out of Switzerland and is supposed to be encrypted. It is also supposed to be somewhat safe. Now, I don't know that anything going over the electronic media is entirely safe, but it's more secure, obviously, than Gmail or Yahoo. So something to consider. According to their website, when you send from Proton Mail accounts to other Proton Mail accounts, it is encrypted from both directions. So that's your highest level of security. And again, if the powers that be have targeted you, you're pretty much going to get scrutinized no matter what. But at least it keeps the mid-level and low-level scumbags from checking out what you're saying to your brothers or sisters over the internet. I'm kind of surprised Mike hasn't logged in quite yet, so let me see what it says here. Oh, okay, he's just sent me a text. He's got a slight delay. He'll be here with us shortly, so praise Yahweh for that. I wanted to talk then till Mike gets here a little bit about what's going on. Anybody who can think knows that this whole pandemic thing is a 100% fraud, okay? 100% fraud. Now, that doesn't mean people aren't catching the flu or having health problems. Well, folks, every day people die from extenuating circumstances or even influenza. In fact, 2019 and 2018 had worse numbers for influenza-related deaths than we have with this so-called coronavirus, which is just the flu. So it's obviously fake. So what's the reason behind it? Well, Let's apply the principle of qui bono, which is who benefits, that all investigators use. Who benefits from what's happening right now if it isn't the New World Order and the Zionists, especially as they decimate the middle class and middle class small businesses that operate outside of corporate America and corporation in general across the world, the corporatocracy, so to speak. So they're decimating the middle class, and they're creating an army of underemployed or unemployed to form an army. And that's already happening as they talk about this contact tracing, which is nothing more than an infringement on everybody's rights. But think about it. Average people that have full employment or are independent, they're not going to sign up for that. But if you're unemployed or underemployed and you don't have Yahweh as your king, and they offer you $25 an hour or whatever it is, it could be as low as 15. It would still get a lot of people. But let's say they're offering 20, 25 bucks an hour. I got news for you. I got a lot of my children that aren't making that much money, and they're working. So just to be a totalitarian stooge and coming to your door and demanding that they invade your privacy and your body for 25 bucks an hour, they'll have plenty to sign up. So you see, what a perfect way to turn half the population against the other half. The whole world is split, exactly as Yahweh said would happen at the end of the age. He said, I did not come but to bring a sword to divide households, mothers from fathers, husbands from wives, children from parents. This is happening exactly as Revelation and other prophecies talked about. So even though it is a diabolical scheme, it is creating the results that the prophet said would happen at the end of the age. Not the end of the world, the end of the age. Okay, let me bring Brother Mike here on to the call, if this
Hello.
Is working. Brother Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. 5x5, as they say.
Fantastic. Sorry for the slight delay. Had a bit of problem connecting again today. Good day to you, Brother Dan.
Yep, good day, brother.
And a welcome, of course, welcome if Danny, Henry, Lane, Patrick, Phil from New Mexico are listening, and all my brothers out there, all the brothers and sisters, wishing you all good health and blessings from Yah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, our audience is growing quite a bit, Mike. I've got a lot of great feedback from the listeners that enjoy the previous two shows that we did, and how much they are looking forward to hearing more from you.
Excellent. Where would you like me to start today? Should I just give you an update on what's happening over here in the UK?
That's a good place to start. Yeah, go ahead.
I just managed to hear a couple of minutes of your what you're saying about what's going on in the States and, of course, the end times and everything. The latest in the UK is basically people are going back to work, but it's only like 50%. And the announcement from the government is here that bars, restaurants, cinemas, cafes, etc., they won't be open until July the 4th. That's
wow.
The Independence Day in the States, I understand.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, and I sent you through the last couple of days. Unfortunate, of course, it's been a bit of a financial disaster here, as it has been in the States and worldwide. The whole hotel group has gone out of a business in Scotland. They had 7 hotels in Scotland, and they also owned 3 coach companies. So they've all gone out of business, and that's just one of the businesses gone by the wayside. Just like in the States, a lot of mom and pop stores have gone out of business as well, naturally, because they're classified as non-essential.
non-essential to the New World Order.
Yeah, because, of course, basically Amazon and the corporations like Walmart, because Walmart, we have Walmart over here in the UK, throughout the UK and Ireland. It's called ASDA, A-S-D-A, but it's Walmart. It's over here, and they're one of the top three retail chains, corporations in the UK. So they're still open, but of course all the mom and pop businesses are all closed and most likely out of business by now, because they didn't have much capital on hand. So there we are. So basically that's the situation at the moment. They've decided that in England we can go out. We can go to the beach now, or we can go to the park, which is very good of them. So we can go for a walk. We still have to obviously have this social distancing. But in Wales, I'm actually in England at the moment. I'm in the south of England because I'm trapped here at the moment. Wales, you're not allowed to get back into Wales at the moment. The police will stop you on the border and give you a warning, maybe even a fine. You're not allowed to get into Wales, and not allowed to leave Wales, not allowed to go into Scotland, and you're not allowed to go into Northern Ireland either. So basically, that's the situation. Those countries are still locked down at the moment.
It's just mind-boggling how they've been able to pull this complete charade off. I'm still amazed at how many people don't get it, but I guess this fits in very well with Scripture, that the evil one would have a very strong delusional power over the people, and Yahweh's allowing it because they don't love the truth. I mean, I see it in my own friends and family, Mike. There are those who are wide awake, and the other ones, they're listening to the television set. They're listening to the sound of, you know, the trusted voices is what the enemy calls them. They create these, quote, trusted voices like Fauci and Bricks, yes, because they have all these credentials. And I learned a long time ago, our people are suckers for anything on television or an image and anything that has credentials, even if the credentials are false or fake. If you say Fauci, head of National Institute of Health with a PhD, they sit there going, oh, wow, he must be really smart. He wouldn't lie to me. You know, it's it's kind of funny. And most of these people that they put out here as experts in lab coats with stethoscopes and everything else, they're actors. They're not even real doctors. They're not even real scientists. They're like, quack? Neil deGrasse Tyson.
DeGrasse Tyson.
He's an actor. That guy couldn't figure his way out of a cereal box.
Well, basically, he's putting forward, of course, this global issue that, you know, is this nonsense. Because I'm a Bible believer. That's it. End of story. It's the law, it's the history, it's the truth, the science that's in there. Because, of course, it was an American guy. I can't think what his name is for the moment. But he actually, through his Bible reading, he was, he's a Bible scholar and very avid reader every day. And I think he discovered in his 20s by reading through the Bible that he came across some passages about God mentioning the fact that, Yah mentioned about the fact that there's actually streams in the seas, and of course he was the one who actually found that there was, you know, that the actual pathways through the seas with the wind and everything, and so that was from the Bible, and he got his science from the Bible. But Neil deGrasse Tyson is just a liar. He's an actor, he's a prostitute, and, you know, an actor, and as you mentioned, Dan, it's the television. I don't actually own a TV. I haven't owned a TV since 2012. And even then, I wasn't really watching it hardly. And of course, even then, I wasn't really taking any notice. We have a major company here, which is the Bolshevik Broadcasting Company Corporation, BBC. It was actually set up in the 1930s as it was actually for propaganda. The first broadcast on the radio in the United Kingdom, in England, etc., was the King. It was King Charles the King George V, in the 1930s. So was it King George IV? It might have been King George IV, sorry. But it was the first broadcast, and that was all propaganda. He was a bit of a weak guy, and he was actually a bit of an idiot, really. They made a film about him. He had a speech impediment. So they had him on the radio. So that was the first broadcast. Because ever since then, it's radio really has been for advertising. And the same with the television. It's for two purposes, really, which is for brainwashing and for trying to get people to go along with products, trying to actually, not just product placement, it's actually brainwashing again to program people that they have to have things. It's not a case of need, it's a want situation. So, so TV and radio all the way through, effectively, that's what they've been, programming and advertising.
Yeah, we're being propagandized like crazy. One of the listeners sent in that NASA stands for the National Academy of Space Actors.
Not a straight answer is what I also call them.
Yeah, not a straight answer.
I'm a flat earther. The thing is, I think it's about 50 million a day that they get from the American taxpayers for their nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't even get a decent fake photograph of the Earth. And right. So all these billions they've been spending over the years since they first started, because they had the German guy who actually started everything, didn't they, from 1945. I'm trying to think what his name is for
a minute. Von Braun.
Werner von Braun. Of course, he on his grave... Gravestone, it's written, it's actually from Isaiah, I think, isn't it? It's actually a verse from Isaiah.
Psalm.
Yeah, or is it a psalm?
The firmament.
Yeah, so ever since that time, they've been spending all this money, but yet they can't even actually get anything convincing to be a counterfeit. Because even if you look at the NASA website, they admitted that there's a NASA guy employee admitted that the actual photographs are actually all put together. It's actually an artist's impression. And also the same thing for all the planets. And it's amazing when they Neil deGrasse Tyson, all these astrophysicists, basically they keep on coming up with all this garbage, and they're saying, well, this is a black hole here, and these are things here, like millions of miles away.
And right.
they've got no way of reaching these places. So, it's all artists' impressions. But yet, people will go online on their websites or watch television programs, and they're completely convinced, just like they are with this health situation, that these scientists, these PhDs, have all the answers. They're actually, as William Colby said, obviously, is it the 60s or 70s, the director of the CIA? We'll get a situation where everything they believe is, on TV. So that's basically it. They think that all the scientists and doctors are all like demigods. They are, obviously, because they have this PhD, they're almost superhuman.
Exactly. Well, they've created a new strain of idols to worship. They've turned scientists, medical professionals, and government officials into little idols to be worshipped.
Yeah. Actually a fantastic death by, what is it called now? Eustace Mullins? Death by Medicine, is it? Or Death, the book I mean?
Oh,
so Eustace
right,
Mullins
Murder.
Murder wrote about the nerve, etc.
Murder by Injection, right.
Oh, Death by Injection, that's what it is. Death by Injection, fantastic book, yeah? So yep. Basically, we know who actually started up the American Medical Association. Of course, it was the Rockefellers. And,
Rockefellers,
his grandfather was a snake oil salesman in the States. He's going around,
yep.
We say flogging over here, this trying to sell all this nonsense snake oil,
Right.
So basically, things haven't changed really. It's just the same old every day, every year. Really, they're feeding us the same old nonsense. And it was a fantastic video I watched yesterday from Joey Imbriano, you know. He goes on there now, of course, it's Fullerton Informer, but I think he's actually got Ricky Joe is his YouTube site there as well. Fantastic video that he had yesterday. It's about 40 minutes long, but well worth people listening to, watching, because he really went, because of course he's got 2 degrees. He's got a degree in biology and a bachelor's degree in chemistry as well. So he really knows his stuff. And as you know, Dan, he, for the last 10 years, he's been looking into electromagnetic effects on biology. So he knows exactly what the situation is. So that's a fantastic video for people to actually to watch out for, because I know, as you know, this is COVID-19 pandemic stage one. There's going to be a situation now here, and as in the States and other countries around the world, where they can open things up for a while. But of course, then when you get to the fall over in the States, or autumn as it is in the UK, they're going to actually have the second, you know, the stage two is going to come into effect. How that's going to come into effect is, while we're actually all being shut down, you know, shut away in our homes, they've been going around putting up all this 5G network. And in the States, yes, just like it is in the UK, they're going to, in the schools, they actually have absolutely huge Wi-Fi routers and things actually in every classroom.
Right.
And so basically this is going to be stage two. So people be best advised between now and the fall period to really get out of their house and start protesting, to start making some changes. Otherwise there's going to be many, many deaths, real actual deaths from this. Because as Joe Imbriano says, what they're doing is, even this hydrochloroquine, they're playing this game of actually giving out contradictory information. It's like when you mentioned earlier, whenever Trump does his broadcasts, probably on, I think it's on a daily basis, isn't it? And he has Fauci there now. Trump's not wearing a mask, but Fauci's behind wearing a mask, so they're giving contradictory information there. And right. Then, of course, Trump is saying one thing one day, and the next week he's saying something completely different. So basically what they're doing is this old Pavlov dog trick, isn't it? They're actually getting people confused, you know? So they're thinking, like, who are we going to believe? But I'm really actually saying today, for all your listeners, either listening live or actually on the in the archive, maybe in the next few days, to really watch that video by Joe Imbriano. Because he really actually gets in nail right down what they're going to do. This is the plan. They've been at this for decades. And like stage two now is the main thing to look out for. So we have to get out there and protest. We have to really bring down these evildoers.
Oh, amen to that. By the way, Sova sent this in that on the tomb of Wernher von Braun, the father of our space program, it has Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Exactly.
So maybe that was his way of trying to tell us.
Yes, he knew exactly. And you know, a lot of people don't know this. Another thing is, just in the 1950s,
you broke up there. Mike,
just after the Second World War, what actually happened is, people can look this up themselves, it happened in America, in the US, and also in Russia, the Soviet Union as it was at that time, USSR. What they did, they had two different independent operations where they were sending nuclear rockets directly to try to actually break through the firmament. I'm not making this up now. I ask your listeners to check it. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Just ask the listeners out there to actually check into it. There were two separate operations carried out, one by the Americans and one by the Soviets. Now, another thing that people don't know about as well is the fact that during, I think it was about 1942 or 43, Stalin had a psychiatric episode, and he wasn't able to control the Soviet Union at that time, USSR. So what the Americans did, they sent in, I think they sent in an ambassador, and they actually controlled the USSR until he actually became well again. Another thing people don't realize either, that even Ford, he was against the Jews at the time, but even so, most of the Siberian roads, buildings, etc., and farms were actually made, built by Ford trucks other machinery, the farm equipment. I think I'm trying to think of the word for it, but you know what I mean anyway. So basically, if people look into that as well, and of course, it was the Western bankers who actually funded the Soviet Union, you know, the whole thing. So the whole thing's a joke. So again, 1969, right. I was 5 years old. Of course, you were older than that at the time, but everybody knows that the moon landings is a hoax. And then people say, well, why didn't the Soviet Union do anything about it? Why didn't they call them out on it? Well, the reason was the Soviet Union was being controlled by the same people. This is the thing. This is what people don't realize. It's all kabuki theater. It's just like China, Mao Zedong, as you've mentioned probably on one of your programs before. Mao Zedong was funded by the West. He was actually a Jew. This is a fact. He was a Jew. It's the same with another thing with China and, of course, with the opium trade. It was the Jews who actually basically pushed opium on the Chinese. Got to a stage where the third of the whole of the Chinese population at the time were drug addicts, and it was forced on them by a guy called Sassoon, who was actually a Jew from. He would have been who would actually come. He was from Baghdad, so he would have been from the Edomites. Who actually settled in Baghdad? I think he was kicked out. I think he was kicked out of Iraq. He was kicked out of Iran, etc. And finally went to India, and in Bombay. So he actually hooked up with the British East India Company, etc. And the House Rothschild in London. And he was funded, and they used the Royal Navy to actually do this. Of course, the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation, HSBC Bank, who I know have been sued over in the States many times, because they were even caught having armored vehicles coming across the border with money, working with the drug cartels. Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation, HSBC, we call them the Dirty Bank, because they were set up by one of the relatives of David Cameron, who was the Prime Minister here a few years ago. His great-grandfather, actually, Ewan Cameron, actually set that up with a colleague to be a clearinghouse for the drug money. Because basically, the British Empire dealings with China, it was all to do with opium going that way. And the actual opium poppy was brought over. There was a poppy brought over to Kew Gardens in London, which is a very famous horticultural place where which they grow all kinds of plants, etc. Still there today, Kew Gardens, K-E-W, Kew Gardens. And that's where they actually designed the hybrid plant that's actually in Afghanistan today, which of course has been defended by you guys, the American troops and other NATO forces are still actually over there defending the opium fields. So it's all, everything's linked together. This guy called Sassoon, this Jew guy, who actually who made millions out of this trade, just like the slavery was the Jews, the drugs trade was the Jews. When finally the Chinese pushed out Sassoon had the strength after two whole wars. There was two wars. If people can look into this, there were two wars. They're called the Opium Wars between the British Empire and China. It's all over drugs. It's all over opium trade. This guy Sassoon actually used the Royal Navy was used to actually go in, and the army was used to defeat the Chinese on two occasions. And also, ever since then, the Royal Navy has actually been involved with drugs as well. That's what Prince Philip, the current king consort in the UK here, he was involved, maybe still involved with the drug industry as well. You know, royal houses are all actually still involved with this. Yeah, so what we're looking at is the Jews are actually involved with the drugs trade. Of course, when they were kicked out of China, they moved the drugs into Europe, of course, and into the States. So, you know, the whole thing, whole thing links together.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you.
Go on.
Actually, I got two questions. All right. First of all, who is the real monarch of England? It's not Queen Elizabeth. So do we really know who the real righteous ruler king should be? And number two,
what we have in London, okay, which I was just there a few weeks ago, we have London, okay, right, capital city of England, okay. Now, within London, there is actually a small area, and it's called the City of London, the City of London, okay. It's an independent city-state, just like Washington, District of Columbia, and the Vatican City. They're independent city-states. So the City of London is right at the heart of London, and it's not actually part of England. It actually has its own flag and its own police force, and the City of London actually has its own mayor. And the mayor is actually, he or she, mainly is a man, they are actually appointed from one of the guilds, one of these guilds. They have these guilds of bankers, they have the guilds of bakers, they have the guilds of all the different guilds of printers, all these ancient guilds that were set up in London. And they actually appoint the mayor. And basically, so even the king or queen, when they enter into the City of London, where all the central banks in the world, the headquarters are located, they're located in the City of London, okay? Now, of course, that's where also House Rothschild actually has his empire from. And so that's the City of London. That's the Temple Bar is also in the City of London. That was actually set up by the Jews as well. That's basically the Temple Bar is where when you want to become an attorney of law anywhere in the world, you have to actually take the bar examination. And it stands for British Associated Registry. Okay, so basically there's a Temple Bar, which is a building which is in the City of London. And basically the City of London is really run by what's called the Crown Corporation. Now the Crown has got nothing at all to do with a monarch. It's got nothing to do with Queen Elizabeth II. It's got to do with the fact the Crown is a corporation. Now the Crown Corporation basically it's actually run by the Holy See. Holy See, as in S-E-E, which, as you know, controls the Vatican. And so the Holy See is actually the ancient families. Most of them are actually crypto-Jews. For example, you've got the Orsini family, who have actually been, about 20 or 30 popes have actually been from the Orsini family. You've got the Farnese family, that's F-A-R-N-E-S-E. There have also been many popes. They're also crypto-Jews. And there's also the Pallavicinis. Now, the Pallavicinis are also, their name is also Pahlavi, P-A-H-L-A-V-I, or actually it used to be P-A-H-L-E-V-I, Levi, Pahlavi. They're crypto-Jews. They are the ones who actually run Iran, but I'll get back to that in a moment. Back to the UK. So you've got the Crown Corporation actually controls United Kingdom. And the Crown Corporation effectively controls the world because basically they actually run the Securities Exchange Commission in New York, where all the corporations are actually listed. And of course, as you know, United States of America in capital letters is a corporation. Of course, in 1871, it was actually set up as a corporation, as you know, and it's still in effect from that day. Because of course, USA in small letters, United States of America in small letters, became bankrupt. Going back to 10 years after, I think 1786, 10 years after your independence in the United States, you had to pay back $75 million back to the King George, but that's another issue. So the thing is, America's really never been free, and even the people who say it was set up as a Christian country, that's wrong as well. If they look into that, they would deists. Even Jefferson wrote his own Bible, and he didn't believe in the resurrection, so he wasn't a Christian. But getting back to London again, so it's the Crown actually controls the United Kingdom. And we have, of course, the Parliament, which is actually, again, it's Kabuki theatre. We have this Hegelian dialect, just like you have in the States. You've got the Democrats against the Republicans, but they're basically two wings of the same eagle. And, of course, the head is the same. It's just kabuki theater, where basically you just have the same people, all part of the same club. But these are puppets. The real people behind it, of course, are the bankers. They're the people behind the scenes that you don't know their faces and you don't know their names. You never get to hear about them because they're not in the newspapers, because they own all the newspapers. Of course, you know, the Economist magazine, which is actually printed in London, Financial Times, and most probably the newspapers like the Wall Street Journal, these are all owned by the Rothschilds. But the Rothschilds, House of Rothschild, are actually the front men, even though they're trillionaires in the world. Of course, they're based everywhere. They're based in France and Germany as well, of course. But basically, they are the front people for these ancient families, the Farnese's, the Conti family, the Pallavicini's, the Orsini. Now, the Orsini's, by the way, there's a guy there at the moment, he's the Black Pope. He's the one behind the scenes, he's the Jesuit general, and he is actually in charge. And of course, he's the one who actually pulls the strings, and he controls the intelligence service for the Catholic Church worldwide, and their army, etc. And he actually, but he's actually one there pulling the strings for the families behind, who control all, they control the mafias, they control everything. So the Rothschilds and all these Jews, etc., are just basically front people for these people. So go back to London again. So you've got the City of London, you've got all these big major central banks, etc. So yeah, so really, and if you go on to the Securities Exchange Commission site, you will see that all the countries in the world are actually all listed as corporations. And in the UK, all our police forces, every region, like we have a county or regional police force, they are listed as corporations, okay? And basically it's the same with our magistrates' courts as well, and it will be the same situation where you have corporate law in the United States. So of course, we're living in a world where people don't realize that we have two parallel levels, as it were, of law. We have natural common law, which goes back to the Bible, which is actually the common law, which is like King Alfred the Great I mentioned to you one or two weeks ago. Basically, this is from the Bible. This is the Ten Commandments. This is the Decalogue. This is from God. Yeah, that's the law. That's what we should be abiding by. But what's actually usurped that is basically is the Roman law. And actually, in fact, since then, it's the actual Greek Byzantine law, which is really what's in effect. So we have combination of admiralty law, when you have the gold rim around the flag, admiralty law, you have ecclesiastical law, and you have canon law. So they're all basically now all being controlled by this crown corporation, the Holy See, and basically it's these families that actually control everything. And they go back millennia. They go really back. They go back to the time of when we had the diaspora, our guys, actually our Israelite brothers and sisters, came out of Assyria. Because the Jews were actually amongst us, the Edomite Jews, a lot of them actually, they didn't come with us westwards into Europe. They actually stayed in the Russian Pale, as it was called. They stayed in Ukraine, they stayed in Armenia, and in Georgia, because Yugoslavia, that's Stalin. He was actually, of course, he was coming from the village of Yugoslavia, which is a Jewish village in Georgia, the southern part of Georgia. So in that region, the Jews actually stayed. But of course, us Israelites, we went across, became the Scythians, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, the Huns, you know, the Latins and the Gauls and the Cymries and everything else. But basically, so the Jews actually stayed in that area. So basically then, of course, we have this guy called Pahlavi, P-A-H-L-A-V-I. Now, basically, ever since virtually the Assyrian diaspora, the Jews have actually been in that region, and eventually they got to a situation where, for the last 1,000 years, they've actually controlled Iran. So people will notice in the news, which I've been looking at as well, there's some tankers, Iranian tankers, supposed to be going to Venezuela, because Venezuela's got some of the best oil in the world. But basically, there's been this kabuki theater where the Americans actually have been saying that they're going to be attacking this Iranian tanker or tankers. But this is all kabuki theater, because, of course, Iran is actually controlled by crypto Jews. The Pallavicini family, the Pahlavi family, the crypto Jews. The Shah of Iran, he was actually a Jew as well. So basically, we're living in a world. So Saudi Arabia, because of course the Saud family were put into place by the British in 1930. So the Saud family, as you know, are crypto Jews. So we have a situation where we have Saudi Arabia and Iran, both controlled by the Zionists, by the Satanists, etc. And of course, Israel is actually by these same people, these counterfeit people as well, these Ashkenazi Khazar Jews, etc., who are just basically evil. These are the people that were selected, the synagogue of Satan. These are the Canaanites. These are the Cainites. These are the people, go back to Cain. These are the seed line who actually have been put in place for millennia, and they are the people who are actually what we're fighting against at the moment. And this is why it's coming to these end times at the moment. They are making a play that I really believe now, Dan, that 2020 is going to be a key year. If it's not this year, it'll be by next year. This is the final countdown. It really is. Trump is actually, people don't realize, in 2018 they have a coin minted in Israel with his head on, and they call him King Cyrus. And in fact, if you look up recently, they've even called him the Roman Emperor. So I really believe that what's actually happened is because the Washington District of Columbia, which was set up by the Catholic Church, as you know, originally, because the White House was actually named after a guy called, an English guy called, maybe may have been Jewish possibly, Andrew White, same name as me, White. Andrew White, the White House, okay? So basically, right. Washington District of Columbia, of course, is the military arm of the Satanists. So what used to happen before the Americans took over, it was the British. They were used, their army and our navy were used to be the bully boys. But now, of course, you've taken over since 1945 as the bully boys. So you're the military arm. Of course, then you've got the financial arm of the Satanists is actually in the city of London with their usury system, which is obviously against God. It's making money out of magic, you know, sorcery. And of course, you've got the, of course, there's more banking going on. There's the Bank of International Settlements, which is owned by these families. And Bank of International Settlements is based in Basel in Switzerland. And what they do is every financial transaction from every bank, Chase Manhattan, whatever bank, Barclays here in England, different banks all throughout the world, every transaction goes through them daily on their computers. And of course, they're making up all these digits on there. So that's the Bank of International Settlements. There's the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, the European Bank, and they're all owned by these people. And of course, the EU, European Union, their building is actually designed, if you look at the building, the original building, it's designed on the ziggurat, which is the Tower of Babel. If you look at it, you'll see exactly the same architecture. So they're showing it in our faces that this is the same order. It's actually, it's been around, of course, this is the New World Order, they say, but it's been around for a long, long time. And basically, this is being building up now, year by year. They have the technology. So they're really going to go in. I think they're going to go in for the kill. I think Trump is actually definitely an antichrist, and he actually may be the one who is actually going to bring about this final countdown. Because in scripture it mentions that there's going to be this person's going to come along and is going to be sort of a kind of nice guy, and he's been a kind of nice guy, fooling people for the last almost 4 years. But now it's a situation where things are going to change, because basically, let's be honest about it. He's actually, from what I've been noticing, and from, of course, what you know over in the States, he says one thing and does something completely different. This Obamagate situation, there's nothing going to happen about that. This QAnon nonsense, there's nothing going to go on about that. There's nobody coming out on a white horse from a political thing. Adelson actually put him into office. He's got a son-in-law who's a Jew, Kushner. Kushner's actually from Mossad. I know he's from Mossad. He's got his father is actually a crook. You've got all these people around them. I just sent you through earlier today. I just discovered, I just did a bit of research because I wasn't really interested in about politics before. I've just discovered today, by discovering through it thoroughly, that we have 11 people in our cabinet. There's 22 people that control the government. They're the puppets that control the government in London. And 8 of them are Jews, and 3 of them are Asians, and our attorney general's an Asian. Okay, so we have 50% of the people in the front running a white Caucasian nation, supposedly, who are actually, which shouldn't be, because it's anti-biblical, they're actually controlling our company, our country. And we've let it happen, and you've let it happen in the States. We've got to take some action. We really have to, because people don't realize. People have been dumbed down by watching the television. They've been watching the Hollywood movies. They've been reading books. They've been looking at these newspapers, all owned by the usual suspects. You know, so basically people have been dumbed down. They're looking at these demigods on the TV. People with the PhDs, they're believing everything. They watch it, they even control the opposition, because of course they got this Alex Jones, who's is complete fraud. You've got these other guys, this Buttar, Dr. Buttar, and these other doctors are coming out showing this guy called Kaufman. Now he appears to be, Dr. Kaufman, he appears to be a genuine guy, but his name, he's a Jew. So they're playing with people. It's just like a cat plays with a mouse. They're just quietly having fun and putting out their predictive programming, just very, very slowly moving into the final kill. That's what I believe, anyway.
Well, you're probably right. In fact, you're 100% right. I'm in agreement completely. I got a few notes here I've been taking as things have been coming in while you were speaking, Mike. Number one here, Ralph says that I believe Trump, Obama, the Clintons, and the Bushes are all crypto Jews. I would agree with that.
Oh, for sure they are, yeah.
We know for a fact, I know, because of his half-breed mother, Obama is part Jew. We know that for sure Hillary has Jewish lineage in her. The Bushes, if it looks like a duck, acts like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So the Bushes, by their fruits, are Jews. And as it's becoming quite apparent, Trump is no different than the rest of them. He's just a better actor, that's all. He's a better, he can hide it better with his liking. And they set it up to where our side would run into supporting Trump by the Democrats becoming completely insane, openly communist. So everybody looked at Trump as being the savior to bring us back, when in fact he's part of the same thing. The other thing I thought of is
that's exactly what I was actually thinking. You see, the thing is, let's look at it. What he's done, he's pacified people like yourself. Good, righteous, honest men and women in the U.S. who really want to have, all you want to do is you want to wake up every morning, you want to be able to go outside, breathe in some fresh air, you know, you want to see the sun up in the sky, you want to be able to, if you're able to go out and earn a living, but do something that is worthwhile to serve God, you know, not to go out there to the city of London or to go to Wall Street to rip people off. You've got people down the mines. You've got people in factories, making all the stuff, going through all the risks, and then you've got these guys in their suits going into the offices, having a laugh, and they're watching people's livelihoods go down every day, you know, whilst they're making millions of dollars which they don't need. I don't want this crazy world, Dan. I really don't. I want to wake up where things are clean. I want to feel that I'm clean. But you know, we have to make a stand. But I think we need to make a stand, but we also have to realize the fact the only person really can actually sort this out is God Himself. And when Jesus comes back, and I think he's due very soon, because if it's not this year or next, it's going to be within this 5 to 10 year period, definitely, because I don't believe that we can actually last out. Because going back to what I was saying in the fall, I really do believe that there's going to be a massive cull worldwide. And basically then, once they've got this network going on, the 5G is not just going to be—it's not killer, not just killer technology. It's also the it's also linking in as well with their sort of this tracing situation. You know, they have all these apps on the phones, and even the iPads they've been building. Of course, they have the Wi-Fi at the bottom, where, so it's on your when you're sitting on a woman's lap, etc. It's actually directed at their womb. These people are evil, Dan. They really are. So I really do. You know, going back to the people. Of course, you know that Bush's wife is actually related to Aleister Crowley, who was the biggest Satanist in England. And Aleister Crowley was a good friend, of course, of Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill was through his mother, who was actually an American heiress. He was a Jew. So basically, of course, he had Roosevelt. So in the Yalta Conference in 1941, in Yalta, Y-A-L-T-A-A, they had three people there. You had two Jews. You had Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and you had Winston Churchill, and you had Stalin, who may even also have been a crypto Jew as well. And they were actually deciding how they're going to carve up Europe. You know. So basically, this has been going. We have a situation going back to our supposed monarchy. Well, we have Prince Philip, who's very very old, and he's a very evil guy. He was a lower prince from Greece. His father was actually the king of Greece, but he was like a younger son. So basically, he had no money, and he came to England without any money, and he actually married Elizabeth. They actually made this marriage, but. Basically, this guy, Prince Philip, is actually a Jew because his mother is Anne from Denmark. She's actually a Jew. But if you look at all the royals, they're all the same. They're actually basically counterfeits. I've been doing some investigation again today by looking through the whole crown, all the monarchies of England. You know, going back to there's a guy called from Holland. His name William of Orange, Orange Nassau. Again, that's a Jewish. They were actually interbred Jews there in the Netherlands at that time, and he was actually a gambler. He lost all his money, type of thing. So basically, the Jews got together, and they funded him to come over to England in 1688. He married Mary, who was the daughter of King James II, who was the house line of Stuart. And so then a few years later, in 1694. Is when the Bank of England was founded. William of Orange was paid a million guilders bribe, so they would be able to let the Jews back into run the financial system. So 1694, the Bank of England, which is like the Federal Reserve, is exactly the same as the Federal Reserve, owned by the usual suspects. Federal Reserve has private owners. Just like the Bank of England does, and of course they've been printing out this usury currency. So Philip is actually a Jew, so Prince Charles is so as well. Now Diana, as you know, that she was murdered. She was in a car accident, supposedly in France, quite a few years ago. But she basically she was finding out about what was going on in the monarchy. That's why they had to take her out. So Prince Charles's children, by the way, all three of them, his sons, are not actually from him. They're actually from three different guys. One of them was actually King Carlos of Spain. So William is actually the William they're actually putting together to try to have him as the next king. Charles probably will never become the king here. So William is actually a bastard son. He's actually the bastard son of King Carlos of Spain from the House Bourbon. The Habsburg Bourbon Empire, and basically King Carlos was actually he was put into exile in Spain because he was corrupt, but he was actually one of his titles was the King of Jerusalem. So people investigate that as well. He is the King of Jerusalem because he goes back to all the way through the Bourbon monarchies, all the way back to the guy which I can't think of his name for a minute, but he was the first king of Jerusalem, was a French guy. And basically, I can't think it was a leper. He died in his early 30s. I can't think of what his name is for a moment. But these are all, and even the Templars, the Knights Templars, who actually said that they were the bankers, and they defended the Christians, supposedly. During the Crusades, they actually went out, and some of them were genuine Christians. But basically, a lot of them just went and raped and pillaged all the way on their way through Europe down to the Holy Land. And basically, that was a con as well, because a lot of these aristocratic families had a lot of land in France and Germany, and they put their land into trust when they went away to fight in the Holy Land. And when they came back, they found that the Jews or the people had swindled them out of their land. But yeah, so basically, that even the Knights Templars, though, is of course a Freemasonic organization, and they actually are a major factor in these secret societies that control things like the Club of Rome, the 300, etc. But all these, and the Bilderbergs, of course, the Bilderbergs, they're all who set up by the Prince Prince Will. Trying to think of what his name was for a minute. He was Prince Bernhard of Holland, who was actually a German. He was a Nazi. He wasn't a nice Nazi, actually. And he was the one who set up the Bilderbergs. So all these people all together, all these secret societies, are all running for the same thing. They all have the same masters out there. And it's just basically, we're living in times now where these things are coming together. Because, of course, it takes time to put things into effect. Because what we have now today is we have this technology where they can really control us. You know, they can keep us in our place. They've managed to have victories against us in the past by taking over countries, taking over our banking system, taking over our political system, taking over our educational system. Of course, they own the film industry. They actually, six corporations, of course, own all the media. So they've actually, basically, they've got control of everything. All they need to do now is come in for the final kill.
Amen. It is an amazing feat, and we're actually there. We've been talking about this for decades, and now it's actually here. It's it's amazing. Hey, I wanted to add, you were talking about the families.
The place. So we have a situation. I really do think, you know, thing is, I've been analyzed, and I think, look, I'm in my 50s. I'm not stupid. I used to work for the government myself. I could see it you know, inside the... I used to work in finance. I was a tax officer, like you have the IRS. So I know how the financial system works from the inside, and that's actually it's all corrupt. You know, the IRS, of course, is it's actually a private corporation, and it's not even actually headquarters is not even in the United States. It's actually headquarters is in Puerto Rico. I don't know if that's actually a surprise to anybody, but the people don't realize either that a major chunk of your tax money, the real wealth, doesn't actually it's not used as resources for your government. The federal government is actually siphoned away by the Holy See through the Crown Corporation. Because, like I said, going back to 1776, remember, your founding fathers were from England, yeah, and from Wales, etc. But basically, all these people had family back in England, and like I said earlier, you know, people don't realize the fact that, you know, you have to have machinery and things to build your country. So remember, in those days back in the States, you didn't have this infrastructure, you didn't have the Industrial Revolution that we'd had in England and in Europe. So basically, you didn't have all the machinery, you didn't have things to print, you didn't have things for in factories, etc. So you need to have that money to buy things. And of course, the only way you could do that is you have to have some hard cash. So people don't really need to do some investigating. They need to find that they had a loan with King George, the guy you'd actually battle against. You see, so even at the start, really, you know, they already had the plan. King George knew. I think it was General Cornwallis, when he finally signed his sort of the papers of, you know, sort of say that he, you know, that. Surrender. Basically, he said, "Don't, you know, we'll be back, you know." So that's it. They've controlled things ever since. You know, they've actually had their agents in. Now, look at 1861. You know, it's called the Civil War, or, you know, the War of American War of Northern Aggression, as it were. But basically, what it was actually funded from both sides by the Rothschilds, and it was a situation where at that time America was getting to a stage where it was really expanding, and it was getting to a situation where you could really have got away from the grip of this of these evil Satanists. And so basically they decided that they had to destroy America. And of course, so they funded the North and they funded the South. You have a guy called Jonah Benjamin. He disappeared in 1865 with all your money, Confederate money. So basically it was all funded. It's Kabuki theater. And this has been going on for millennia, Dan, because in European history, people don't realize the fact that here in Europe, we've had major conflicts. It seems that ever since 1948, the United Nations has been set up, there's some wars been going on somewhere in part of the world. People don't realize this is the situation that's been happening for millennia. If we go back to Europe, we had a situation where we had a thing called the Hundred Years' War. That was between France and England. 100 years. It lasted 100 years. Every year, 100 years. And that's just one of the wars that's actually happened in Europe. We had a 30-year war in Europe between the Protestants and the Catholics. It was going on in Europe, in Germany, Switzerland, and Scandinavia. It was called the 30-year war. You know, and we've had here in England, we had the English Civil War, we had the two Wars of the Roses, etc. We've had war between the English and Scotland. We've actually had then, of course, Oliver Cromwell went across to Ireland, and he is no hero. Oliver Cromwell, he went to Ireland, and there were people surrendering, and he had them all killed. And basically, people don't realize that I think it's a baseball team over there. Is it called the Red Legs or something? Well, basically, they get their name from the fact that many Irish children, men, women, and children, were taken away from slavery to the Caribbean. Cromwell organized it with the Jews to actually serve in Barbados, Bahamas, or the other parts of Jamaica, or throughout the Caribbean. They were actually Irish, white Caucasian slaves. Thousands of them had actually been taken over there by, and of course Cromwell said that there's no problem to him, so he was supposed to be a Puritan Christian. But with Cromwell, he was actually funded by the Jews because they wanted to come back into England. 1655, they came back into England after being, wait for it, not in England for 390 years because King Edward I had actually found out that what had been going on here, as it's going on now privately, they'd actually been, the Jews had been doing their thing where they've been obviously killing people, killing children, and putting the making the mitzvah bread with blood, baby's blood in it, and other things that they were doing, they were up to. So Edward I kicked the Jews out in, what was it, I can't think what year it was. But it was for 390 years from the 13th century that the Jews were not allowed to be here in England. And actually, the law in that particular time has never been rescinded. So the Jewish people are living here now in the United Kingdom are here illegally because they were never officially allowed to come back. It's never been in official constitutional law for them to be back here. So they're counterfeit over here as well.
Nothing new under the sun, is there?
No, exactly. So that's basically some of the things I'm going to say to you. But now on more a happier note, I was looking at just a continuation of some things we were talking about before. On a positive note now, I've got something to read here. There's some scripture today, which is, of course, this is from God here. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So let's be positive, even though that we know all this is going on. The victory's been made. We just have to get through it. And of course, when Yeshua, when he actually wrote his seven epistles, you know, the seven letters to the seven churches, which was the major churches in the known world at that time, because of course America wasn't known and Africa and everything else, it was just from Britain across to the southern part of Russia, the northern part of Africa, like Libya, across to Egypt, across to the Middle East, as far as India. That is as far as the known world was at the time. And, of course, so it was very crucial that these churches were defended. So the two churches that had positive things to say about them, that's Smyrna, and Yeshua actually admired them for their fortitude whilst they were going through tribulation. So we're going through tribulation at the moment, Dan. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters out there to be strong and to be positive, to be calm and rational, and don't do anything stupid. But actually, like they're doing, like we have more intelligence than they have. We are better men and women than they are. We have to show this. And of course, the Church of Philadelphia was fantastic. He actually said to them that they hadn't denied his name, and he encouraged them because they were overcomers, and that they will have the victory and the rewards. So this is what we need to remember. This was put in there. This is put there by Yeshua for a reason. This is here for the end times. It's to give us encouragement, because he knew the end from the beginning, so he knows exactly what we need to go through. We have to be strong. And I'm not going to submit, Dan. I'm not going to have a vaccine. I'm not going to have the HCQ, whatever. I'm not going to do it. I'd rather look. I don't want to commit suicide or anything like that. But I'll do everything in my power to kowtow to them. So that's basically that. But I've just mentioned something again. Interesting. There was a church there, of course, Pergamos. That was one of the not so good churches, and that was actually the seat. It's mentioned in Book of Revelation, chapter 2:9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So basically, then, Pergamos was at that time in the world. I don't know where the headquarters is now. Could be Rome, could be somewhere else, where the headquarters of Satan is. But I believe he's back. I really do. I believe he's on the earth at the moment. And basically, I was going to say, yeah, so I think Pergamos, yeah, so the biggest emperor after Julius Caesar, as people would know, I'm trying to think of his name, but I can't think of it for a minute, but basically he actually went to Pergamos, and he brought back with him the statue of Jupiter, and this particular statue now is in Rome, and people who go there they think it's the statue of Saint Peter, but it's actually it's the Jupiter sun god that they're actually going to worship. The Emperor Augustus it was. And let's have a look at some of the notes here. Yeah, so in the 1930s, the Germans, just before the outbreak of the war, they brought across the actual altar, the Pergamon altar, marble altar, and it's 36 meters wide, 34 meters deep, so it's a huge thing. And this is where, in the Book of Revelation, where Jesus actually mentions, Yeshua mentions the fact, I know where you are, I know the state of your seat is. This is what he's actually talking about. This is actually the seat. This was actually part of a major temple complex on the top of a mountain in Pergamos. Today it's called Bergama, Bergama, which is in the western side of Turkey. And they have this museum in Berlin, and that's where this what else can I say? Yeah, I've got some other details here. Oh yeah, so tell you about, you were talking about on not the last show, but last week you were talking. I heard you talking about pharmakia. Well, you have. What's interesting is there was a Greek god called Asclepius. Asclepius, and this is around about the 4th century BC, it's a long time ago, and he had, there were three main clinics or sanatoriums. One of them was in Pergamos. I think the first one was in a place called Epidaurus, which is in Greece itself, and the third one, the other one was in Kos. Kos is where Kos, the island of Kos, is in the Mediterranean, and it's where Hippocrates, as you get the Hippocratic Oath, Hippocrates was a doctor, and his he had the clinic there. But going back to Pergamos again, it was actually in Pergamos. It's called Asclepion, and this is the very first sanitarium, clinic, and health spa, because they had a situation where they had faith. They had kind of faith healing going on there. They had it was like physiotherapy, because at that time, Pergamos, of course, under the Romans, this is around about the second, up to about the second century, they had gladiators fighting there. So they had physiotherapists, so that some of the gladiators who survived, they put them back into the ring again to fight again. So they were looking after those. But people came around. There was supposedly about over a million people or more actually came to Pergamos, came to this clinic, which was the most popular clinic. And it was, Asclepius was this Greek demigod, and his image was him holding a staff with the snake around it. And of course, you'll see that outside all the pharmacies. You'll see it on the paramedics, sides of the paramedic vans and things like this. This staff with the snake around it. And of course, that'll be, I think it's a symbol of the American Medical Association as well. And it's all around the world. So people realize this is actually a pagan thing that goes back all the way back to the 4th century BC. So at this complex, they had a temple, they would be praying, and they also had a library, they had a theater, they had music festivals, like we do actually over here, like Woodstock type of thing, but that type of thing that was going on as well. And they had a spring there, which they had this kind of, which had beneficial things to it. And what they did is people would go there to be healed, not... They wouldn't take anybody on take anybody there who's going to be on death's door. They'd have only people that they could treat, because they didn't want to lose their reputation. So they'd have people there who'd stay maybe for just one day or longer to get fit and healthy. And they'd been given some opium or other hallucinogenic drugs. And then they would go to the sleeping area, which is underground in the dark, and they were told not to talk. Now, in the sleeping area, they had these cubicles underground, and they would have snakes that would go around. These tame snakes, not poisonous snakes, would be crawling all over them. Hence the snake on that staff. It's all linked together. It's to do with the fact that a snake supposedly regenerates, it loses its skin and regenerates. This is the pagan nonsense that they have. And they had in the second century, there was a very famous doctor who came after Hippocrates. There was a guy called Galen, G-A-L-E-N. People look him up as well. It was like a very, very famous doctor. And this is when they started to have this thing about practicing medicine on people. They say practicing medicine, as it were. As you said, so they were kept overnight. And because they were drugged up, and they would have dreams. And the idea was, the very next day, they would then sit on the sort of psychiatric couch, because it was like psychiatry was going on here. So Freud didn't make this up. It was already around a long time ago. So they would be asked to talk about their dreams, what got on in their dreams. And then the medic would then try to work out what was wrong with them. He or she would give them some ointments and different or herbs, herbal things, etc., or give them solutions or offer other kind of physical solutions for their problems, etc. And so basically, so you have a situation where you've got drugs involved with it, pharmakia, and because this is all linked in together. So that's the history of this pharmakia. And today I was looking, there's a German company, they're called Asclepion. They're actually named after this place, and they actually have customers in 70 countries today. In 2020, they have laser treatment, and their company's called Asclepion. So it's around today from over 2,000 years ago, to almost 2,500 years ago. This is actually still going on from that time. So the Asclepion, their main business is to do with dermatology, things like that. So that's to do with Pergamus. There we are.
Wow, that's quite a history.
Well, Dan, so the thing is, I could go on for hours. I could tell you, I know more about British and American history, you know. I know a lot of things about your country, but of course I know a lot about what's been going on in Europe. People don't realize that everything is linked together, and it's just been a case of, there's this word gradualism. And of course we're dealing with Hashatan here, okay? So he knows he's got a certain amount of time, but he's been taking his time gradually, month by month, year by year, decade by decade. And let's be honest about it, you know, when Yahweh put us on this earth, he didn't intend for us to be at war with each other, brother against brother. But all these culls that have been going on throughout history, it's just incredible. People should realize that, you know, we've been fighting against each other. In Europe, we've had wars for thousands of years here. Everybody fighting each other. Our brothers were even fighting, Dan, when I was just reading the Book of Jubilees last night, and it was mentioning the fact that the land was actually split up between, allotted between the sons of Noah. And, you know, Shem had his part, Ham had his part, and Japheth had his part. But their sons were then given their parts as well, and they were fighting with each other. Even in the early days, they were fighting because they weren't happy with the land that they had. So we've been fighting against each other, even from the very start. It's just been going all this time. But even when we've had situations where we try to have a peaceful situation, these evil seed line have come in there and got things started. They actually created. Well, first of all, Boston Tea Party. That was Jewish merchants. Got that going to start with. Okay, you have the Civil War. That was the Jews getting that going. You probably would have been Jews between the America and, I think it was the Spanish War, but when you had this war with Spain, you had a war with Mexico. Probably that was all to do with that. You were even fighting against the Canadians in the early days. That's more than likely to do with them as well. You know, all these different wars have been going on, and we don't need it. It's time to stop all this. It's just madness. All the, you know, we're killing brother's killing brother, and we're not doing anything. We're not producing good fruit. Everything is just evil, and we have to take responsibility for this. Now I know you and I, we're not perfect, but you know, we have to take responsibility. We really do have to take responsibility. And people, I think, they're just putting their blinders on, or the blinkers on, and thinking that somebody else is gonna help them. But there's not going to be anybody coming on the white horse to help them. It's up to us to do something. We have to get together. Now, your plans about having a community situation, you know, if it's not, well, I think it is, this year or next year, I really think, my message out there to you, the listeners, would be, like you were thinking of doing, is get your community together, sell up wherever you are. First thing is, priority number one, get out of the city. Because, of course, if everything goes, you know, if the excrement hits the fan, it's going to be a situation. You're going to have no water. It's going to take just a few days before you're going to have anarchy in big cities. So just get out of the city, go out to the country, start growing your own, getting some plants, etc. Growing your own vegetables, etc. Getting a few things like chickens, and not pigs, obviously, but chickens and some other stuff, and getting together and just like the Amish do, work together. You know, and like you mentioned to me, there's a community in New York where they have their own script. They actually have their own. They barter between. This is what we need to be doing. Get out of the system, get out of the beast system. But we need to do it now, because otherwise it's going to be too late. The thing is, at least we can circle the wagons. You know, we can circle the wagons. At least we can try to defend ourselves from a position of strength, rather than. Just like back in the old West against the Indians, when you had your stockades, you got to find a stockade and defend yourself. Because if you're in a city or a large town somewhere, you're going to have problems. It doesn't matter if you have, you might actually have loads of food put away. You might have lots of shells and you have all guns and things, but then you're going to get a big group. You know, it's going to be anarchy. You're better off getting together, the safety in numbers of good people together in your own community and circle the wagons, because it's coming. This final final showdown is coming. And you want to be, I don't know about you, but I want to be alive when Jesus comes. I'd rather be alive when Jesus comes. You know, that Amen. Would be my choice.
Right. And we're told by the prophets in the writings, the scriptures, it says that there will be those at the end of the age that will not taste death, that we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, because he
That's
will
right.
come and we'll still be here. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, the Antichrist has all the marbles and all the guns and ammo, and so if you're going to be a believer and a fighter, you're going to die. Well, that's not true, okay? It doesn't mean we won't have some casualties. We will. But in every war, you have casualties. But the overcomers will be here when he arrives. We will welcome our king in these flesh bodies, and then we will be transformed into our eternal bodies. So, I'm working to be here. I want to be prepared. And there's nothing wrong with us circling our wagons and getting into a community, which would be like Noah and his family getting on the ark. Okay?
I believe
we'll have protection. People say, well, they'll just come and get you. Well, that's a defeatist attitude. That's like, well, the Indians will get you, so don't circle your wagons. That's bullshit.
Right.
No, you circle your wagons. It's like that story about Rourke's drift in the
yes.
movie Zulu. Okay, they were highly outnumbered.
Welshmen,
huh?
They were Welshmen down at Rourke's drift. You know that the Welsh regiment.
They were a Welsh regiment. Amen.
Zulus. Rourke's drift was just basically like a way station, and what they did is they literally did circle the wagons. They used the wagons that they had. They just put up a defense around this, about the hospital. They had a little hospital there. It was just a little thing by the side of the river, and they actually defended over 24 hours. It was just I can't remember the figures, but it was only less than 200 of them, maybe 150, 200 of them to start with, and hardly any died, were killed, but there were thousands of Zulus. But actually, there was an even better one that was by the Boer people, you know, the Boer, who were actually the original Israelites that came. They're not the Afrikaners, by the way. There's a difference between an Afrikaner and a Boer. Boer, Boer, which is the German and Dutch word for farmer, okay, which is what they were. They were settlers after the first settlement in South Africa, right at the Cape of Good Hope. There was actually down in near Cape Town there, the Cape Province. That's where the Afrikaners went first, because they had a way station there to start with, so they could supply as they were moving into the East Indies. And that was the Jews that were setting all this up to start with. But the Boer people who had been persecuted, the Israelite people who had been persecuted in Europe, they came across, they sailed across from Amsterdam. And they came down to South Africa, and they went out into the hinterland, and they fought against the whoever they found. But a lot of the area down there was empty. There weren't any Africans. The Zulus, who actually fought at Rourke's Drift, would you mention? They came from Central Africa, near the ocean and near the southern part of South Africa. There were no Africans there. Apart, there were some of these pygmy people. That's another story. So the Boers, they were called Voortrekkers, yeah? They went out with their families and their children, and they went into the hinterland, into the wilderness, as it were, and they built their farms, they got their businesses going, etc. They fought against whoever they did, and they defended them. But there was a battle at James River, something like this, James River. But there was only a few hundred. They were men, women, and children. They fought off thousands as well, and they didn't lose one. Because what actually happened, even some of the Zulus said afterwards, they said that they saw in the clouds okay, they saw more boars in the clouds and fighting them. So just like Gideon, they'd actually prayed to God, and God given them the victory. They lost not one man, not one woman, not one child, and they had oxen in their stockade. They had a stockade. They circled the wagons. They lost nothing. They lost not one person or not one animal. And that was a fantastic thing. That's I think it was the Battle of, I'm trying to think, it was the James River or something. I can't think exactly what the name of the battle is. But I think I've heard some people preaching about it before. I don't think it was Eli James. Eli James might have been preaching about it some years ago.
Was it the Battle of Blood River?
Bertrand Comperay or something. So that's a very famous battle. So it just shows you, God will give us the victory. But going back to what you're saying, the thing is, look, I'm not being defeatist. I'm just saying to the people who need waking up is to get, I don't have any children. I'm in my 50s. Look, if God takes me today, I fine, I'll go. I'll be happy to go, you know? But the thing is, I'd rather be around so I can go meet him in the clouds and come back and fight with him, you know? And kick ass, you know? but of course, he knows who we are. He knows. In the Bible, it mentions, in the New Testament, it mentions about predestination. And I really do believe in predestination. Because I believe every spirit, we were there, of course, as you know, we were there in heaven before. We've been put into this mortal body, physical, in the third dimension, for a specific purpose. This particular project that we're going through, that God has given us, is to show, is like you've been mentioning before about refining the silver, yeah? And when you can see your face in the silver, yeah?
Right.
It's basically, he's putting us through the fire to see if we're going to come out the other end. And this is a test. This is a test of we need to stay on the narrow path. Daily we have to wake up and crucify ourselves each day. We have to walk with the cross every day, every new day. We have to wake up on that basis. And we're going through a test. This is what we're going through. We're going through a test. It may seem to us that this is all there is, but this is just like one sand, piece of sand, grain of sand on the beach, or one star in the heavens, as it were. This is just one small part of our whole existence. We were there at the start. We were there with God at the beginning, our spirit. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to Him. And so, but we have to. He doesn't want anything evil. He's not going to be with anything evil. So we have to get rid of all our evil traits here. So it's a test. We have to. He knows we're not going to be perfect, but what he wants us to do, as you know, I say to everybody out there, is we're not going to be perfect. We're worms. We live in a corrupt body in the flesh. Not because God made us that way. We made ourselves that way, and we have to realize that Yeshua Jesus is our covering. He's our covering. He's our white linen, and His blood atonement. So that is the thing it's all about. It's His blood. His blood sacrifice. It's what it's all about. The victory's been made, but we need now to, we need to back this up. We need to show that we're prepared. We need to make. He knows that we're not perfect, but he wants us to be excellent. He wants us to be try to strive to be the best that we can, even though we're going to have our faults. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't have much money. But I don't care. The thing is, all I'm looking to do at the moment is eat a healthy diet, stay clean, stay away from evil thoughts, wake up every morning and try to do the best I can. If circumstances weren't as they are at the moment, I'd like to be serving God in another way at the moment, but that's another story, you know? I really like to be going out there and serving God, but I'm kind of stuck at the moment because of this situation. With even the churches, by the way, churches are not going to be open to the 4th of July here in the UK. So you have abortion clinics, you have the corporate, all these big supermarkets selling a lot of stuff that we don't need, but the churches are all closed down. Mind you, the apostasy has been going on for the last 2,000 years. And perhaps, of course, this is Yah's telling us the fact that the apostasy Because let's be honest about it, the Baptist churches, the Pentecostal churches, the Episcopalian churches, all these churches, they're all corrupt. Church of Jesus, whatever it may be, they're all corrupt. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're all corrupt. They're not giving the message. The only people really maybe having private sort of get-together is in their own homes and having pure Bible study. Because all it's to do now with churches is they want to have maybe half an hour of a sermon, and the rest of the time it's all happy-clappy, singing, lovey-lovey Jesus, you know. And they forget that Jesus they're going to see very, very soon is not going to be lovey-lovey Jesus. He's going to be looking to kick ass. This is judgment time, you know. He's coming back. He's coming back with that, the sword of truth.
Amen. Yep, that's very well put. You're right. He's coming back to kick ass and take names. So.
Dan, he already knows. I really do believe that he knows. We're in the book, you see. The thing is, what does it mention? It's about the thing is, if you can imagine when they were writing at the time on parchment, they would be thinking about, you know, they don't have the sort of pens and things that we have today or computers. So they put it in their words that they had at the time. And so they you know, to blot out your name. So in that book of life, our name is written down already, okay? Our name is there, okay? It's right. It's up to us to make sure our name stays on the roll, okay? Otherwise, we're going to be blotted out. You know what I mean? So it's up to us. We've been given the ticket to the wedding of the, you know, wedding. We've been given the ticket already. But we have to show up with, the, you know, in white linen. But not our own white linen, of course, the white linen, the righteousness is covering us. You know, there's this parable, you know, with the parable where they went around and they got these people to come to the wedding feast, and the one guy was kicked out because he wasn't wearing the right garment. Well, that's, of course, a picture of the fact that he didn't have righteousness. He didn't have belief. This is the thing. You know, so it's I believe that our name is there. His people, he knows who we are, and even though that I may be in harm's way, I don't have any fear. You know, really, I know I need to have courage. We all need to have courage because let's be honest about it. We'd rather be living more healthier lives. Rather than be in this really terrible situation we're in at the moment, where you know people are actually losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, maybe even losing their relationships, etc., suicides and whatever, all this thing going on here, family breakdowns and everything else is going on. But we need to stay strong. We need to stay strong because we have the victory. We know this. We need to keep it at the back of the mind. The trouble is, We are flesh, and our mind can be our own enemy. We are our own worst enemy, Dan, as you know. Our thoughts are our own enemies, you know. We think ourselves into situations, even though I don't watch TV, okay, but still I get paranoid about things as well. I look at the situation because, you know, even a lot, I'm a logical person, but even I get worried and anxious about it because I'm human, you know. Right. I'm an Adamite. Let's put it that way. I'm an Adamite. We're only Adamites, you know. We have these, you know, we have these weaknesses, and all we can do is do the best we can. But stay strong, stay in the Word. What I'm doing at the moment is I can't do my teaching of English at the moment, and I can't. I even applied to do some farm work at the moment. I'm waiting back even to do some farm work because I'll do that until I can get back to do my teaching or something. But at the moment, apart from talking to you now, every day, apart from taking a walk and getting some exercise, I'm in Bible study every day because it's crucial. We need to be in His Word every day. It's comfort. And every time you look, even if you've read the verse numerous times before, there's always something new that will come out. And as you know, by looking at the words, trying to get the right translations, looking at the lexicons, trying to get the true meaning, because there's actually around about, they reckon there's about 35,000 translation errors even in the King James Bible. So, you know, you have one word perhaps one word in the sentence gives a completely different meaning. So you have to check it out. If it doesn't sound right, and people have to realize when they're doing their Bible study, they need to make sure that they put everything into context. Just don't pick out one particular verse, out of context. They need when you're looking at the Bible, you have to think, right, first of all, it's God's letter to us. It's a letter directed right to us as an individual, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we need to take that on board. We need to realize it's our manual, it's our law, it's our history, it's our guidance, it's our instruction. And we have to make sure that not just one verse or one paragraph or even one book of the Bible. We need to make sure that we go through the whole from the beginning to the end, because there is a code in the Bible. You know, there's terms like woman, river, sea, these things, the numerology situation, the sevens that come out, the 40 we're testing, the seven of perfection. There's numbers through the Bible. You need to actually get a handle on the metaphors. You have to realize what the idioms are. People have to realize the fact that if they don't quite understand, they need to try to work out what the idiom could mean, like the camel through the eye of the needle. They need to think about what the idiom would have been at that time, because we have things like in England, we have an idiom which is to kick the bucket, which means to die. Okay? Well, if I wrote that down in a book and in maybe 1,000 years' time, people read the book, and of course things have moved on. They look back at this thing where I'm kicking the bucket. This has no meaning to that person. So people have to realize they were writing with it, a lot of its idioms in the Bible. They need to understand what the idioms are, what the similes, what the metaphors are. The Book of Revelation, for example, most of what's in Revelation is already in the rest of the Bible. Of course, Ezekiel mentions a lot of, as you know, about what's going to happen in the end times, dry bones and all the rest of it. If you look at 37, 38, etc., the end of Ezekiel, of course, the books Obadiah and Malachi, etc., it's all there. A lot of the stuff's already, in fact, in Genesis, the starts, the ends in the beginning. You can see what's going to happen at the start with the prophecies. Understanding what when Abel, Havel, he gives his sacrifice of the lamb. So there's no explanation given about that. Basically he must have learned that from Adam, because of course Adam sinned, the very first sin that he would have had to make. He was told by God he needed to make a sacrifice, so he must have made a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. So of course then Abel got that from his father. And of course, that's all the way through the Old Testament. It's about the Lamb. It's setting up the scene. It's pictures that people have to realize. There's pictures. There's pointers to where things are going to lead to. So this is the thing. So it's show due diligence. Rightly divide the word. So this is the thing. And to me, I don't know if anybody else thinks this way, but for me, by looking at this, it's a reminder. It's a reminder and the comfort to me that, the Holy Spirit is here with me and looking, just looking over my shoulder, it is a big comfort for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of the, I'll send you the chats that have been going on. A lot of people are enjoying the things that you're talking about. And we've hit a pretty good high number of listeners, too, by the way. So that's excellent. Live listeners, okay? And there's a lot more that listen to the downloads or the archive.
Yeah, and Dan, if anybody wants to ring in, it would be wonderful to have Henry or Phil. I was listening to your last show. It was brilliant, the discussion you had with Phil from New Mexico. Oh, excellent. It was superb. And with Henry, this is it. The interchange, the discussion, bringing out new points as well, mm-hmm. And because otherwise we can get a bit repetitive about the same stuff. We need to bring out some new points to make it interesting for people. Some of the things, hopefully I haven't bored people today with a lot of facts about what's been going on in history in Britain, but I think it's all necessary. Just like the Bible, it's a history book. You need to know your roots. You need to know how things have come about in this particular way. You know, you gave service in the U.S. Air Force and doing what you were doing there, and you know what the signs of the times were at the time, where, you know, with women not being there and whatever else in the during the jobs, and you work with the Jews, etc. And you can only get this experience and wisdom through time. You know, like for me, I can go back in time and I start to think to myself, I'm 56 now, and I can think to myself what it was like in the UK, what it was like back in Cardiff when I was a boy. You know, it's completely different. And of course, my mother told me, she was born in 42, she told me the fact that when she was a girl, she hardly ever saw anybody who wasn't white. You know, but today, in London, 60% of the people are actually not British, and a fair percentage of them are not white. But basically, you've got people, my nephews are 16 and 18 years old, and they don't know what it was like in the past. They think this normal is normal. They don't realize. And this is how the thing, you know, I think you were talking about last show, about, I think you were quoting about the culture, you know, history. Stalin made quotes about it, George Orwell made quotes about it, etc. Karl Marx made quotes about it, and other very wise people. Because they realize that you have to learn from history. You have to go back. It's very, very important. Because history at school, I think they do it deliberately. I never really got anything out of school. Everything I pretty much learned in life, like you did through your apprenticeship, everything has been since leaving school. Any qualifications that I've got and everything, any successes I've had or anything I've learned, I've done it by researching things thoroughly myself and looking at different sources. And, you know, we have to use critical thinking. I always say to people out there, I think our audience, I'm pretty certain, most of our audience, if not everybody, is they're woken up and they realize what's going on. And please don't get into this doom and gloom from the television. Turn it off or even just throw it out. Don't even have it on. It's a waste of time. Talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Talk to your children. Go out. Go to the park. To get out in the fresh air. Get some vitamin D. Get some fresh air. You know? If you want to keep abreast of the news, okay, go online and have a look. Find people like Joe, find Wiki Joe, Fullerton Informer. Find a few people that you know, and watch over time to see what they're saying, see if they're consistent. Find two or three witnesses that you can actually, and then you have your people out there. You have a network of information. This is what I do. I keep abreast every day of what's going on. Here in Britain, more actually in America, to tell you the truth, because really, let's be honest about it, what goes down in Washington, D.C. is the major factor. Because basically, you know, if there's going to be war, it's going to be between the U.S. and somebody, okay? If there's going to be a major change in the world, the strings are going to be pulled first in the U.S. So I'm keeping an eye on it every day, what's going on, you know, what's going on with Trump, what he's been saying, going back and seeing what he's been talking about and what he's actually been doing. And I'm convinced, like you are, and most of our audience, I believe, that this guy is not working for us. Look, I think his grandfather ran a brothel, you know what I mean? So this guy is not a righteous guy, and he's not. I've been watching his performance. He's not an intelligent guy. He's not a smart guy. He has certain ability. Of course, I think he inherited most of his estate and everything else, businesses, etc. So looking at him, I don't see a fantastically smart guy there. And if he was truly genuine, whatever he said he would have done, he could have done it a long time ago. You've got the Federal Reserve. What I would have done to start with, I would just look to get rid of all the congressmen. I'd just start all over again. I'd kick out all these APACs and all this other stuff. I'd have anybody in your government who's in House of Representatives, House of Congress, in the Senate, or anybody who's working closely with Trump in the White House, if anybody has dual citizenship with Israel, out straight away. You know, you can't have this, you know,
right?
These things. And he said about draining the swamp, it should have been done 3 to 4 years ago. So he's to right. me, to my mind, he's a fraud. But as I said, I'm, yep.
Hey, Mike, we have a caller.
What's going on? Just like it says in the Bible, because Jesus will come like a thief in the night. But as you might suspect as well as I do, there is an appointed time. And hey, what about Feast of Tabernacles this year? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, we have a September caller, Mike.
Get him on.
Yep. Henry, you're welcome to the program.
Oh, wow. I don't know what to say. I actually, I think about 30 minutes into the show, I did request to chime in, but I guess you didn't notice it. And Mike, you moved so fast, and this is not a criticism. Don't take this the wrong way. You are, your knowledge is simply amazing, and your mind is working so fast. It's hard for people like myself to keep up with you, be honestly. That's a tribute to you, so don't take that the wrong way.
I agree. What I'm trying to do is cover as much ground, put it all together. You see, it's actually, if you look at world history and you look at the, what's going on in the world as a whole, I see it as a jigsaw puzzle, yeah?
I'm not
being profound. It's a simple thing to look at it as a jigsaw puzzle. And all these different pieces that you need to put together,
and it
gives you the full story, you know? And this is what we need to be doing. And everything, just like the Bible, everything in the Bible and in life,
connects.
It's not there through coincidence. Everything is connected, and there's always a reason. There's always a rationale behind. There's always a layer. It's like an onion. You have to go, you know, open up the onion, layer upon layer upon layer. But at the heart, you'll see exactly what's going on. But we know, as Bible people, we know the fact that there's evil in the world. We know that, and there is actually God is allowing an instrument to be carrying out this evil. And this person, Satan Hashatan, is actually a very knowledgeable creature. And because he knows the scriptures, but he didn't know the New Testament. Obviously, he must have known the scriptures, but he wouldn't have known the New Testament. That's how the defeat came on the cross, obviously. He didn't know. Because, of course, his plan was to destroy. He knew that God would be putting his son onto the earth. So what did he do? Very first move that he made, stage one, right at the start, he actually impregnated Eve straight away, tried to destroy the seed. Okay, he had Cain, right? He wanted to, because he knew that was the way that, you know, to stop Jesus coming, you know, coming in the flesh and everything else. He tried that, that was stage one. Then Jesus, Yeshua, comes. Right, fine. I'm going to tempt, but I'm going to find out where you are, and I'm going to get, because he controlled the world at that time as he does today. He controls the governments, he controls the empires. So basically, then he didn't realize though that he was actually, of course, God is so infinitely complex and clever. He'd worked out the fact that he fell into his hands. He fell into his hands because it was all part of the plan. He knew that the victory was from the blood. This is one thing through his pride that Satan didn't realize, the fact through the blood, this is the atonement. Because people don't realize that when they read the Bible, you have to look at it from another point of view as well. It's our law book, but God is lawful. So even though he has this creature there, he's fallen, he has Samael, Halel, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the beast, the dragon, he has this fallen creature there, all right? But basically, he has to do it in a just way. Now, because if we look at the book of Job, because Satan came down for Job, to try Job and everything else. And Job is a fantastic book because people misunderstand what Job is all about. Job, it's all about showing the fact that true faith and tribulation, because Job, that's what basically it's all about, is getting through tribulation and showing your faith. Yeah? So the thing is, Yah has actually worked all this out. It's all a complex chess game. He's already worked it all out. All the moves have been made, but obviously Lucifer did, Hashatan didn't know what the plan, and he fell right into his lap with the blood. That's another key thing that people have to understand. It's about the blood. It had to be about the blood because it's actually a legal system. law system that God has actually set out, he has to stay within his own law. He cannot break his own law. And this is the fantastic, clever thing that he did with the blood. And again, with the blood, people need to concentrate on the fact that it's the blood. It's, you know, it's actually in this fantastic, fantastic gift that he's given us of the redemption of our house of Israel. But of course, the second stage is saying, look, okay, now you need to have the discipline. You know the model. You've seen me in the flesh. This is the way that you need to be. Go out and do it. And I'll meet you again sometime in the future. And that's the way I look at it.
Hey, guys, let me make a suggestion here, since we have three of us on the line, that we go back to what I was talking about on a previous show, that when you're done making your question and or comment, as in radio communications, say over. That lets the other people know, because if you don't do that, we end up talking over each other, which means
I'll say over for the minute. Like, Henry, what do you think?
Can I say something? In the last 5 minutes, I don't know if anybody else has noticed it, but a lot of interference. I'm hearing about 50% of what Mike is saying just in the last 5 minutes. It didn't start until then. I'm not trying to say anything in between, so I don't know where it's coming from. It's not from me. I don't know.
Oh, just to sum up, Henry, I've just mentioned the fact that, you know, to sum up, we're in a system. We have a perfect law. We have a perfect God. We have a perfect man, Jesus, Yeshua, and we have a perfect law. So we have to abide by that perfect law. God actually worked out the chess moves, way ahead of time, and so we have the victory. We just need to make sure that we realize the fact that this creature there, is just in his last moves now, trying to just drag as many people, try to destroy as many souls as he can do at the final battle, as it were. But the war's been lost.
Amen.
Over. Over.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. We're not. Part of the problem is we've got a severe rainstorm coming here, so there may be a little bit of interference because of that. But like I said, mostly it's I do know that occasionally when somebody's trying to talk and then somebody's trying to inject a question or comment, that in my headset anyway, the two conversations overlap, so it comes out garbled. Okay, and that's the reason I'm saying it. You know, when you're done talking, we used to do it in the military. You're on radios just like we're doing right now. So when you're done transmitting, you just say over, which means the other people then have a chance to jump in. Over.
Yeah, yes, I understand. Henry?
Yes.
Do you have any comments?
A couple. I think back to when I first, wanted to speak. You've covered so many things since, but I made a couple of notes, and that was probably 45, 50 minutes ago. But anyway, you had mentioned, at one point you had mentioned this, everyone's talking about this second wave that they're talking about in the fall. Anyone who thinks that they're not going to take advantage, full advantage of the momentum that they've already gained with this first wave, it's foolish. They will not wait for that. That second wave is coming for sure. No question about that.
Yes.
As far as Trump goes, Trump is a showman. I mean, have you ever seen him on the WWE with Vince McMahon? I mean, if you want to know what he's all about, just take a look at that. And I just wanted to mention one other thing. Early on in the show, you were endorsing Joe Imbriano, and I really like Joe Imbriano myself too. I haven't seen his latest video, but I checked it out. I just checked out the title of it while I was during this broadcast, and I guess he called it The Crime of the Century. And it
That's
brought
right.
to my mind an old song from the 80s that I used to band from England that I used to really like.
Supertramp. Yeah.
And they had a song called The Crime of the Century. And if you don't mind, I'll just go through the first stanza or so here, because the words are so appropriate to what's going on. I'll just read this to you right now. Now, this isn't scripture. It's just a rock band, but they were a pretty good band. And I think you agree, they were pretty good. But here it goes. This is the song called The Crime of the Century. Now they're planning the crime of the century. Well, what will it be? Read all about their schemes and adventuring. It's well worth the fee. So roll up and see, as they rape the universe, how they've gone from bad to worse. Well, these men of lust, greed, and glory. Oh, let me back up. Who are these men of lust, greed, and glory? Rip off the mask and let's go. That's not right. Oh, no, what's the story? Look, there's you and there's me. So that was a pretty good old song. Out.
Yeah. There was also Mike and the Mechanics has a song called Silent Running. You should listen to the lyrics of that song. And there was a musician, the name escapes me, my son was telling me about it, that supposedly committed suicide. And he had a song also that was like his attempt to tell us of the nefarious activities going on behind the scenes. So the name is escaping me for some reason, like McConnell.
Do you know the name of the song?
No, he's gonna call me back today and fill me in on all the details. I knew the name when he mentioned it because I'd heard about he supposedly committed suicide, which is total bullshit. He wrote this song. It was like his conscience was bothering him. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this song basically to get a warning out to the people. A little bit like Aaron Russo, the movie maker. He did that interview where he talked about the Illuminati and the New World Order and the Cabal. And, you know, then all of a sudden you don't hear from Aaron Russo anymore. And the same thing with Victor Thorne, who had the books out exposing the Clintons and a lot of other stuff. And then supposedly he commits suicide. You know, it goes on and it goes on and on. It's just amazing. But
yeah,
when I find out the name of that artist, I'll put that out.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how many of these whistleblowers and people who expose the New World Order end up shooting themselves in the back of the head twice?
Yeah.
It is.
They're Arkansided.
Yeah, right.
Arkansided, yeah. Like those young guys who actually they were on the rail tracks in Arkansas. They were supposedly drugged and whatever, and they were run over by the train, and they were supposed to go along. They were sort of witnesses to something. Because I know here in the UK, I know about the Clinton with his drugs coming into Arkansas. You know. But
right.
Another thing I wanted to mention as well, you see, there's a lot of that song, Crime of the Century, the album Supertramp, Crime of the Century as well, as you say, a British band, but they had a big album called Breakfast in America.
Yes.
But there's predictive programming. Yeah, you have people, do you know about Tavistock House?
No, but I was going to mention, you said the Crime of the Century album. If you look at that album cover, check it out,
yes,
and you'll see planes going into the towers.
Yes.
And I'm not exactly sure, but somebody did study that album cover, and you'll see there's some real predictive programming going on there. So I don't know. I don't know what that means. Maybe Supertramp. I don't know.
Well, you know, the thing in the music industry, I can tell you something about the music industry, actually. Yeah. Which is all linked in with what we're talking about, actually. You know, the Beatles, the music, you know, when you looked, I used to buy vinyl records, okay, and I used to like the covers, and I used to like looking at the everything, photographs and everything. So So I used to look, I used to study all that kind of stuff, you know. And so you look at the labels, and you've got underneath the song, you've got the whoever writes the song. And of course, most of them says Lennon and McCartney. Well, what you have is a situation where you'll find that when they to raise some money, they sold this, or they or the estate or actually owned the all the song, you know, the lyrics, that they sold it to Michael Jackson. But they found out it wasn't Michael Jackson bought it, yeah, but he didn't buy it off Lennon McCartney. He bought it off the estate of Adorno, a guy called Adorno, A-D-O-R-N-O. Now, he's the guy that was working with Tavistock House, because people have to realize the fact that what's been happening for decades, this is going a long, long time. We've got predictive programming going on. We've got social change. There's people to look at, they go online in their own time at some stage, they can look up Tavistock House, T-A-V-I-S-T-O-C-K, Tavistock House. It was actually funded by Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, the usual suspects. But it's they also have the Frankfurt School in Germany. They're actually the same people as well. They're all linked together. And what they were doing, or they were looking at, they've been analyzing people, social trends, and in fact, what they decided to do, the CIA, of course, worked directly with Tavistock House as well. So what they do is they try to, of course, they always manipulate in society. So what they decided to do is one of the things that they need to do in their tenets of the plan, the protocols of the elders, you know, the elders of Zion. They decided they have this sort of like the Communist Manifesto. They have these planks of the manifesto they want to put into effect. So they decided long ago to do this. So yeah. So what they've been doing is they decided what we need to attack. Well, we need to attack the nuclear family. You know, of course, two parents and a child or more. So we need to attack that. We also need to attack the family, extended family as well. So have a situation where people are atomized as individuals, and to form this kind of dog eat dog state, and everybody's trying to, like hamsters in a wheel in the rat race. So they want to get people all, of course, on their own, because when you're on your own, then you start to get anxious and paranoid and everything else. And we're strong when we're together. So when we're out with our family, we also want to do it with, of course, procreation, because of course they want to get we have homosexuality and lesbianism going on, etc., and transgender, all this, and transhumanism. All these things are all part of their overall strategies. And so going back to the music again, because in the 1960s you had Woodstock. And you had the Laurel Canyon music over in California. And if you dig like I did years ago, you'll find that you got people like Jim Morrison. His father was a general. Yeah, a lot of these people are actually elites. They are willing to sacrifice their own, by the way. And they're quite, you know, because these Satanists will do that. Their firstborn child to Satan. That's apparently a covenant they need to make to, you know, sell their soul. But they have to sacrifice their firstborn child, like they did back in the Bible with Molech. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Going back to the story about music again, so all these artists like Crosby, Stills and Nash and the Mamas and the Papas and all this kind of stuff coming out in the 60s and the Grateful Dead with their drugs, this is all organized LSD. And what they were trying to do, of course, in the 1960s with these music festivals and with the hippie movement, they even had a hippie Jesus movement towards the end of the 60s, if you recall. And it's all about destroying the morality. And of course, then you have the CIA working with the LSD and doing, carrying out the experiments on people. So what they're looking to do is, for every decade, is to try to bit by bit destroy the fabric of our morality and our systems, our Christian world that we have, and actually make us so the fact that we are anathema to God, so the fact that we're breaking every rule. Okay. So yes, yeah, so the music. So going back to Lennon McCartney again. So it's a guy called Adorno, A-D-O-R-N. A-D-O-R-N-O is the guy who really wrote the music, etc., and the lyrics, because all of it was predictive programming. You've got, of course, with George Harrison, when he split as well, he started to sing Hare Krishna kind of songs as well. They went to the East and tried to bring in the East to destroy Christianity that way. You see, there's different ways that they tried to do this. So yeah, the Tavistock House have been involved with that for every decade. They started with rhythm and blues, and rock and roll and all this kind of stuff, you know, like Elvis with his sexual movements, etc., back in the late 50s. It's all about trying to break down morality. So the Beatles were actually, even their name, the Beatles, is to do with the occult, yeah? And you've got Led Zeppelin, who started in like 1969. And of course, you know, like, the Led Zeppelin guys are all Satanists. They actually bought Aleister Crowley's house, here, castle here in England or Scotland, and they carried out satanic. Stairway to Heaven was actually, if you watch any videos where Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, etc., are talking about these songs, they'll admit that they didn't actually write it. It came to them. Now, in English, we have a word called muse, M-U-S-E. Now, in Greek, it comes from the Greek. And, of course, if you put a before the rest of the word, you get a negative. So when you say a muse, A-M-U-S-E, which is to entertain, but it means more than that. It actually literally means not to think. Okay, to muse, of course, to consider, to think, to ponder, okay? To think about what you should do and be rational. But when you put a in front of it, so a muse. So you think about it, TV, Hollywood movies, video games, these are all amusements to distract people, okay? Getting them not to think. So basically, going back to social programming again, so you've got Tavistock House, you've got the Frankfurt School, and they came over to Chicago University. So look into Chicago University. When you've got this Bernie Sanders, etc., and you've got this, I'm trying to think of this guy, another guy for a minute, but it'll come to me in a minute. Clinton's actually, and Obama were very much into, is a Jewish guy who wrote his book. Saul Alinsky, you know? Saul Alinsky, A-L-I-N-S-K-Y. He actually has a plan as well, another satanic plan, because he's all part of the system, their system, evil system, to break down society, you know. So the thing is, like I said, music. Now, of course, if you look at the different music styles, then you've got in the 80s and 90s, you've got this kind of music where they had these trance music, and I was never into that. I was already in my 20s while I was already working and not interested. But basically, if you look at music, what accompanies it is two things: drugs and that loosening of sexual morals. It's all part of the satanic plan, you know. And of course, you know, when people start to dance to these, to the beats, when you've got the drums going, etc., it changes the rhythm. It's all about the frequency, you know. It gets you out of the frequency where you're in harmony with God. And, of course, the music, then you've got the drugs, you've got alcohol. And, of course, again, people who are drinking alcohol, apparently the demons can come in when you're drunk and when, of course, people are taking drugs, which I've never taken drugs, but apparently that this is what can happen, you see. So they're bringing in this thing where they're bringing you down. And you're doing it yourself because you're letting them do it. You know, this is where we have to have critical thinking. We have to investigate things very, very carefully. But look into Tavistock House, because they've been doing this. They had a program for every decade where they've been looking to do what they do is they control the culture. They try to set up things. Like, for example, if we go back through time, you think about toys that we would have had, hula hoops and all these kind of things. I'm trying to think of some other different things. Yo-yos and all these kind of stuff, and they have all these things where you have to have it. Pokemon games or something, isn't it? As well, that's another thing. People, they start this thing going around, this kind of this drug type of thing, where people they're pulling people, drawing people in to this nonsense, which takes them away from reality. And this is what it's all about. It's breaking down all the boundaries. So if we look now from the start of the century, people would never have believed that we'd have a situation like this. We've got this transgenderism. We've got this situation where we have schools now where the children are actually not the parents, but the children are asked, "What sex are you? Do you want to feel like a boy today or a girl?" And they have these unisex toys. You know, and you have the teachers, a male teacher going into a toilet where they're women. This is just one example of the breakdown of the whole of society, and people would never have believed it 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, Joseph Goebbels warned us what would happen to the world. It would sink into darkness if the Allies prevailed in World War II. So I think we're seeing the...
Yeah, and of course, you've got... You've heard of a guy called Edward Bernays?
Bernays. Yeah.
He's a relative of Freud, Sigmund mm-hmm. Freud. And Edward Bernays is the guy, I think it was in the 1920s, who started the propaganda for advertising. So he was the one, he's a Jew, obviously, and he was the one who spread this propaganda situation. So that's been picked up again by all the powers that be in, you know, all the governments. Remember, the governments, like I said a long time ago, the governments are not there for us. People have this idea that they're actually electing these people and they're going to represent them at the local level and on the federal government, etc., or state levels, etc., the Congress and as the representatives in the Senate or whatever, or the president. People have to remember, firstly, a president, all right? What is a president? Well, it's actually a corporate position, president of a corporation. That should give it away straight away. He's the president of the capital letters United States of America, which is a corporation, okay? So he's not working for you. He's working for the powers that be, yeah? So people have to remember this, you know?
Yes, we the people are looked upon as simply as commodities to the powers that be.
We're consumers, Henry, just consumers. Yeah. We are the useless eaters.
Useless eaters,
which is the eugenics. Eugenics, all these things linked together. You know, you've got Darwin's theory of evolution, which is just a theory. And Darwin's, his father was a eugenicist. And you've got Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World. And he also wrote a book about the windows. I'm trying to think of what it's called now. But Jim Morrison actually read the book. And, of course, that influenced his lyrics and his poetry and things like this. Oh, The Doors of Deception. Oh, sorry, The Doors of Perception. The Doors of Perception. That's where The Doors got their name from. The Doors of Perception, written by Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, which, like George Orwell's 1984, these are predictive programming, and actually not just predictive programming, telling us exactly how it was going to be. Because in Brave New World, it was all about having a situation where there would not be parents, there would be just a situation where a child would be born and it would belong straight away to the state. And this goes back to Plato. Plato wrote about this, the Greek philosopher. He wrote about the fact in Athens, where they had a situation where you have, they were in favor in eugenics of getting rid of anybody who's useless. So if you're disabled, they only need a certain amount of people. They need a certain amount of people to be the elite, and then you need just a certain amount of people to do the work, and anybody else is non-essential. And this all links with the eugenics. And this is brought up today in England with Darwin's father and Aldous Huxley as well. Huxley had a father who's involved with it as well. They're all linked together, and it's this eugenic system again. It's all about, and it's all lead. It leads into the transhumanism, and of course, then transhumanism leads into AI. Because let's go back to the garden. The very first thing that Satan said, the serpent Nakash said, he said, "You will be like gods." And this is coming to pass now in 2020. They are, Elon Musk, and and Bill Gates, the Satanists. They're working there directly to bring this about, to the fact that what they believe is this. The elites think that they can live forever. Their consciousness can live in a robot, an android or a cyborg. Of course, Satan is fooling them, because once the useless idiots have done their job, they've fulfilled their purpose, his intention would be to destroy them as well. You know?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Absolutely. He'll dispose of them. The greatest enemy of knowledge is ignorance. It's not ignorance, but it's the illusion of knowledge. That's what these morons like Gates and the elites, they're tools of Satan. And he'll dispose of them when he's done with them.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's been many like them in over time. And going back to Tavistock House again, people don't know this either, that Adolf Hitler and Stalin were trained in Tavistock House, because again, there are many books on this about where the money came from. course, a lot of people who are listening know already the fact the Soviet Union, the Bolsheviks were funded by the bankers in New York and, of course, in the City of London, etc., the usual suspects working for the Satanists, because they had a specific plan. They were going to bring down, because Russia was still a Christian country, and of course they hated the Tsar as well, so they wanted to bring down, and they wanted to bring down this Christian country. And of course that was all funded. Of course Trotsky, his name was Bronstein, he's a Jew in from New York. And Lenin, of course, he spoke to, his German was his first language, and Lenin wasn't his real name either. And so these people were just set up there as puppets to fulfill, you know, their role. But Stalin and Hitler were trained in Tavistock House and what they needed to do. You see, the thing is, people have to realize the fact that our cousins over there in Germany, look, they're fantastic people. You know, the men and women and children over in Germany are fantastic people. They always have been, okay? But they were used, because what happened is you had these counterfeit guy, Hitler, and a few of his other cronies. In fact, the guy who was head of his navy, Admiral Canaris, Canaris, is a Jew. So Hitler, no, it was nothing to do with, there was about 300,000 people killed in the concentration camps, which I don't agree with the concentration camps anyway, but nothing like the 6 million. So it was 300,000 official figures. So really, and whatever Jews were involved with that is the ones that they were going to, were the Frankist Sabbateans, Satanists, wanted to get rid of, because they will get rid of their own people. They'll do it. It was all part of their, again, plan that went back to 1917, which the Balfour Agreement, because the British said, okay, look, we need help to bring down the German industrial system. And so, of course, they went to the American Jews, and Rothschilds made Balfour sign an agreement where the fact that as soon as the British were going to give up Palestine, they were going to give it up to the Zionists. So that was from 1917. That's the reason why, of course, America came into the war, because that was the deals were done behind the scenes with Woodrow Wilson, who'd been bribed by the Rothschilds because he'd had an illicit affair. Etc. So the whole thing is nothing's new under the sun. So the funding was funding from the bankers. The banks all are working for Satan anyway. The whole money system's all this fiat currency system is all working. Mammon is all for Satan. Yeah. So yeah. So Hitler, Stalin, and all these back to plans and brainwashing and mind control and predictive programming. But going back to George Orwell, his real name was Eric Blair. He was a member of the Fabian Society. The Fabian Society, if you look them up, F-A-B-I-A-N on the internet, Fabian, F-A-B-I-A-N, you'll find that they are a socialist organization, very satanic organization. Tony Blair, the Prime Minister, was a member. And there's a writer called George Bernard Shaw. Eric Blair was a member, and Aldous Huxley was a member of the Fabian Society as well. These are British elites we call them champagne socialists. So George Orwell was an insider. This is why in Britain we have cameras everywhere. Well, that's in 1984. We have doublespeak. Well, that was going on with Donald Trump and all our elected officials. They say one thing, and it's that they mean something else, you know. That's double speak. And they've got the thought police. They've got political correctness. All these things are coming from this particular template from 1984. Now, he wasn't a hero, George Orwell. He was being used by the elite to get the information out there. Just goes back to what you're saying about Supertramp. In the lyrics of their songs, these people are all controlled. Okay, they have to sell the soul. They're told, yeah, if you want to have the fame, yeah, we'll give you the money and the fame, but we're going to control you. So they're actually given the lyrics of the songs, because they have a particular agenda. For every decade, they have certain lyrics and certain songs and certain messages that they want to get over. And this is all about breaking down society. You look at hip hop. You look at the black music, etc., where it's really aggressive, and again. That's very deliberate, you know, all these particular styles of music. You've got heavy metal music. I was saying to you earlier about Led Zeppelin. Well, again, you know. What they do is they get these people up there, on the, put them on a pedestal, these stars, to get people to almost worship. Well, they are, they're idols, you know. And they're not just idols, they're also pumping out all the message that the, that Satan wants to do, you know, and wants to lead us all into all these traps that he wants to put in front of us. And we're doing it ourselves. People are doing it themselves by being ignorant.
Yeah. Over. I've always believed that all the super bands or the super groups were selected for a purpose, and Jews were behind that as well. I am a little surprised that you have the your idea on Hitler is that he was trained at Tavistock, and he was not really for the German people. I think you'd have a lot of pushback from a lot of the.
The thing is, what you have to realize is that I can prove that to you, Henry. Look into who his financial guy was. He's a Jew. The central bank that was in Germany after the Treaty of Versailles in 1918, between 1918 until early 1930s, when National Party, Socialist Party took over, Hitler took over, and the Reichstag, etc. But there was a guy who was in charge of the bank, the Deutsche Bank there beforehand, and he was a Jew, yeah, but he kept him on. Now, the thing is, what they did, look, we have to set these things aside. Remember, everything, they have a plan. It's like what they're doing now with Trump. He may be doing, kind of, in people's eyes, they may be doing certain things. There are certain people in society, that the lower echelons of society, they will let them go. They are collateral damage. They will let them go. They're some of their agents, but they will let them go by the wayside, okay? So, you know, there's always going to be collateral damage. There's always going to be something going on, etc. So if you go back to the 1930s, it was an economic miracle. It was fantastic. What we have to remember, we have to use critical thinking again. Now, remember, the media in America, for going right back to the 19th, you know, right to the start of the century, has been taken over by the usual suspects, okay? So Time magazine, for example. Now, in the 1930s, 36 or something like this, 37, you had articles where Hitler was on the front cover of Time magazine. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have to ask yourself, why is a Jewish publication? But then in another newspaper, the Judea, they declared war against Germany later on in the 30s. So there's double speak going on there, you see. So the thing is, what we have to do, we have to separate the economic miracle going on with the fact that what's the elite that we're going to be doing at the top. Because what actually he's doing is, he's, over that period, he was leading them into destruction, okay? And he may have committed suicide, but if you look into this, it's possible. I'm 50-50 on this, but according to some of the FBI records, that they reckon Hitler actually went to Argentina. And if you look into it in Argentina and Paraguay, etc., you'll find a lot of them. And of course, Operation Paperclip, Werner von Braun, we were talking about earlier. The people who set up the CIA, a lot of them were German from the Gestapo, etc. So basically, this is the Fourth Reich. Remember, these people are agents working. Remember, Hitler was given support by the Catholic Church, okay, because he was seen as the Holy Roman Emperor at that time, okay. He was actually battling for them. That was the Third Reich. Now we're in the Fourth Reich, where Trump is the Holy Roman Emperor, with a military arm in Washington D.C. So the thing is, what happened is, yeah, okay, you have the economic miracle, but because the German people are very industrious people, they're fantastic people, they're our brothers, they're from the tribe of Yehuda. But we have to set that aside, and we have to look at the people at the top. Like in America, you've got fantastic people, okay, all right? We might, and like Britain, we're being led now into a situation where we've done a lot of evil as in society, but we're not the ones who've controlled it. They are the controllers at the top have been leading us into this position. That's what Hitler was doing. He was leading them into that situation. He may have had some good points, but overall, the main thing was they achieved the objective. You know, he was never going to be able to bring about the victory, because God wasn't actually with him. That's why he failed. Because if God was with him, he would have succeeded. He was just an instrument to get to. See, what else they have to look at, again, going back, they had an overall plan. They'd worked it out since late 1880s, 1890s with the principles, the elders of Zion, etc. And what they'd worked out, it would take time before they could get into a situation where they could take hold of Israel, Palestine, because it's the center of the world. Because basically they want to be there, because remember, in these end times, it mentions in the book of Revelation that Satan will have his seat in Jerusalem. He's going to go in and try to be the king of the world from Jerusalem. So there's always been a plan to go back to Mount Zion. Mount Zion, if you look at the scriptures, is actually it's where God's going to be. The new Jerusalem's going to come down. Mount Zion is his most favorite place on this earth. So basically, this is where all the action is centered on, is Israel. So they planned to get their people in, their false people, into this country for a long, long time. So they put some things together in the First World War. They brought about the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, Christmas time 1913. So they got their money situation going on, and the IRS was all set up, etc. They got Woodrow Wilson to go into the war. They got a situation where the fact that then, of course, Germany was destroyed the first time around. And then they were working on the next stage of the plan, which is build them up again so they can break them down again. So your thing is, you look at the bankers, they come in and they crash the market and they take the money, just like the Wall Street crash. This is another one of the things they get up to, is these economic crashes that they do. Because they get the wealth all the time, and what they're doing is they're destroying the middle classes completely. So that in time, in gradualism, it gets a situation where all there'll be is the corporations and us as the serfs. This is what they're aiming to do, like castles and serfs back in medieval times. This is exactly the pattern they wanted to have, and get rid of the surplus people that they don't need, because they don't want to be feeding these people that's unnecessary. So yeah, so the thing is, they had this plan. So the second stage of it was, I don't know if you need to look into this, there was a guy, as a Jew, actually wrote a book, his surname's Black, I can't think, it was Conrad Black, I think his name is. He wrote a book about it, and the fact there was a deal done between Hitler and the Jews. And you can even look at this, coins were minted at that time in this time period, like 39, 40 or something. They made a plan that, because they wanted to have, they were pressurizing the Jews in Europe mainly. They didn't want to be in the desert of Israel. And as it is today, most of the elite people, Jews, are not actually in Israel. Most of them are in America and Britain and other parts of Europe, France, Germany, etc. They have been for a long time. They don't want to go to the desert. They want to stay with their wealth and their control. So the plan was to get people, they needed to get, see, in... When you form a country, in international law, you have to have a certain minimum amount of people to come into the country so that you can claim the land, the territory. This happened, I can tell you that, the proof of that was Australia. Back in the day, when they were going to Australia, the first people went there, it was a guy called Tasman. He was a Portuguese explorer. Tasmania is an island just the south of Victoria, Australia. And You had the Dutch came there, and most of the western part, say 60-70% of Australia was called New Holland. But what they failed to do is they didn't move sufficient people into the country, into the territory, to claim the land. So what the British decided to do is, again, in those times, people didn't want to spend 6 months going to another side of the world where it's complete unknown. So nobody wanted to go to Australia. What they decided to do in Britain, we had our convicts. They forced the convict. In fact, they were just imprisoning people for stealing a loaf of bread in England, in London. And a lot of Cockneys in London, that's why they have Australian accent, it's from the Cockney accent, from London. A lot of people in London and other parts of England, they were sent from the prisons so they had a sufficient number where the crown could monarchy could actually claim Australia. So that's exactly, so fast forwarding now to in international law, they wanted to have a sufficient people to go to Israel, so then Rothschild could go in. If you look into the Knesset, which is the Knesset, which is the parliament and the parliament buildings of the in Tel Aviv, but I've been to Tel Aviv. I didn't go to the parliament buildings because I wasn't interested. But basically that was all funded by the Rothschilds. Rothschilds is actually the Tel Aviv in Israel is the fiefdom of the House of Rothschild. So the people there are only there to be, for international law, to have the numbers, and of course then to encourage people over time to go there. But even now, in 2020, a larger part of Jewry is not in Israel. Okay, so this is what we have to understand. But they needed to have the numbers to go there. So there was a deal between Hitler and the Jewish elite, Zionists, and they made agreement where they would freely let the people go with their possessions to Palestine. But and the guy who was the minister for doing that in Germany was a guy Alfred Eichmann. Alfred Eichmann, if you look into him, he was arrested in Argentina, but the Mossad sent some guys over to Argentina to arrest him and bring him back. But Alfred Eichmann was the guy responsible for coordinating the Jews to come out of Germany, and you'll find out thousands upon thousands as well were sent out of the country into Ukraine, into Czechoslovakia, into Poland, into Eastern Europe. A lot of the Jews were just let go into those places. The only ones who were in the work camps, concentration camps, like other communists and other people they had in there, a lot of them, people had to realize that in the late 30s and during the early periods of the 1940s, etc., there were Jewish terrorists actually in Germany, and they needed to be taken out. So they're the ones who were put into the concentration camps. So that was the overall plan. It was a strategy to get sufficient numbers into Israel. You see, this is coordinated. And this is, if you think about it, the evilness that's actually involved with that, with this, is just unbelievable. Because I don't think that normal mankind, certainly Africans and Chinese don't think in these ways of looking at things, not just on a yearly decade basis. They're looking at 50, 100, 100 years ahead.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what they're doing. Is it like this is stage one, this is stage two, and they're doing it. They're doing it gradually, just like they did with America. In the early days, the Jews weren't allowed to be. Look at the 1960s. I know Pastor Dan has mentioned this on a long time ago as well. It mentions about the 1960s, Jacobitz, and we had a guy who had a Jewish lord here in England in the 1960s. 66 or 67 in America and in Britain is when the Immigration Acts came through. They didn't do it in 1916. They didn't do it in 1926. They did it at a particular time. And that's what they're doing now. They're actually doing something at this point in history. They're doing it now. They have the momentum because they have the technology in place. They have people in their homes. They have a lot of people who are just going along with it. Even though you have weapons in America, what can you do at the moment? If you start to get a few people together in the militia, they'll come and crack down on it. You need to have a large awakening of people to really do anything, because if you try to do anything as an individual, they'll take you out, just like all the whistleblowers that they do, you know. So it's a very difficult situation. You know, there we are. So over.
So in essence, you're saying that Hitler was a total sellout to the German people.
Yes. They were sold down the river. Look, this is not the first time this has happened, Henry.
No, hey, listen.
Look at the Irish people, okay? You see, Ireland, not many people realize that Ireland was targeted a long, long time ago. So let's look at the history of our brothers and sisters, okay? We came, our people came to the British Isles. And it's, of course, it's Britain, but it's the British Isles. Brit, Covenant-ish people. Covenant people. This is no coincidence, okay? And you've got the Danish, the English, the Irish, okay? So the thing is, we're meant to be here. Now, up until about up till 1066, in fact, we had a long period where we've got, I think they reckon, Alan Wilson, the great historian, Welsh historian, I don't know if he might still be alive at the moment, but he's done a lot of investigation. And they reckon, and there's a lot of proof to this, they were in the British Isles, in Ireland, and we're here about 1600 BC, So we were here about 3,600 years ago here in the British Isles, okay? And of course, so we have our people here in Ireland, in Scotland, in Wales, and in England. And of course, the Welsh language is Hebrew today. It's probably the only language spoken on the planet that it's anything like Hebrew was back in the day. So the thing is, we're here in these islands. Now, we've been protected because we weren't invaded until 1066. So we had, you know, we had all that time. We had 2.5 millennia, 2,500 years of being able to build up society here in Britain. Okay, so in 1066, you have a guy called William the Conqueror, William the Bastard, and he's the Duke of Normandy. And Normandy, by the way, was settled by the Vikings. It's the Norse men, Normandy. And Pope to come in, because, of course, when you're conducting war, it costs a lot of money and logistics, okay? You have to feed your men, you have to have the arms, you have to do all this kind of thing, you have to keep it going, except you have to pay your troops. So the thing is, he got the money from the Pope. The Pope said to him, look, I wanted to smash the real church that's in Britain, because we have the church here when Joseph of Arimathea came here, Jesus had come here a long time ago. So our people, in the Bible, is the terminology in the wilderness. What that means, main meaning of in the wilderness, it's God's protection. It's putting people in an area where protection, like when Moses was 40 years coming up to the promised land, he was waiting for the next generation, but he was protecting them in the wilderness. And so basically, we were here for over 2,500 years, protected. So William the Conqueror came over in 1066 and instituted surnames for taxation, and then they looked to smash the church here in Britain. And of course, Catholicism started to come into Britain, which is what they wanted to do, to break the true church. And so this has been going on for a long time. So yeah, so the thing is, the monarchs, remember, the monarchs, the kings and queens, okay, supposedly they're supposed to have divine kind of rule, and they've been given support by God, supposedly. But if we actually look at their actions, if you think about it, lots of wars in Europe and through history that I've been a student of for a long time, is a lot of wars have just been between the same people. Because in Britain, for example, since 1066, the kings and queens of Britain, this may amaze you, have actually been French, or either Danish, French, or German, ever since 1066. Okay, so there may have been somebody born in England, but they're from a French family. The House of Hanover, the current House of Windsor, was called the House Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. They're actually black nobility. They, of course, they got Jews intermingled with them, unfortunately. But that House of Windsor, is called today the Queen Elizabeth II. She is from German stock, going back to Queen Victoria, German stock. The king who fought against you in the War of Independence, George III, House of Hanover, Germany. Before that, it was the French, the Plantagenets. We've had the House of Tudor, even the House of York, Lancaster, and Tudor were all also from French stock as well, going back all the way back to 1066. And we got Catholicism, even though you've heard of Henry VIII. Well, Henry VIII started the Church of England in the 15th century, but it was still Catholicism. It was still Catholic. England was a Catholic nation up until hundreds of years later. And it's still actually been around, because the United Council of Churches actually run all the churches in the world. Anyway, they run the Southern Baptist Church. They run all these churches in America, worldwide. The Council, if you do the investigation, you'll find it's the Council of Churches. So the Pope actually controls all the churches, all the Christian churches in the world, even the Orthodox Church. They control the whole thing behind the scenes. So yeah, so this is all planned. The thing is that kings and queens are not our friends. Just like the presidents and prime ministers, they're not our friends. They're working for the elites. They're working for themselves. And they will pit man against each other. They'll pit man against brother, brother against brother, like they did in Europe, you know? You know, so basically you've, and even in England, you've got people fighting against each other. You've got then, of course, the Scots fighting against the English fighting against the Welsh, English against the Irish, and English against England have been fighting France for hundreds of years. You know what I mean? And then all the different campaigns that were going on in Europe. You know, so don't have any trust in these kings and queens. And they will let people go. They're collateral damage. They're just interested in what we have expression, feathering their own nest. Over.
Yeah, well.
That's a lot of info.
Yeah, a lot to absorb.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so anybody who wants to find out more information, like what I would say, and the main thing that I am, apart from the, you know, at the moment is, you know, I'm very much into the Bible, but I am a researcher. I've been researching for a long time. I built up a lot of knowledge, and I've got a fantastic, I have a very good memory. I can't all recall all the facts sometimes, but I'll have it in the back of my head. I just need to recall it. What I've been doing for a number of years is just putting all the jigsaw pieces together, looking into the legal system, look into the money, the fiat currency, and it's all linked together. The birth certificates, the corporations, etc. It's all linked together. The police officers, the law enforcement that they're called today. Now, Dan's talked about this before on other shows, about the back in the day, there were peace officers. We had the equivalent here. Robert Peel started the police in London. They were called the Peelers, P-E-E-L-E-R-S. That was the first police. But they were constables. They were called constables, and they used to walk around. They didn't have. We don't have weapons. We have weapons now. They have. Police have weapons today, but they don't go around with them all the time on the street. But the thing is, they were going around like peace officers, constables, because they were upholding common law. They had an oath. They had an oath to our constitution, to the people. But now they are called police officers. Now an officer is actually a title of somebody who's part of a corporation. And as you will find, as it is in the UK, trust me, if you look into it, every one of your police districts in the United States will be a separate corporation. Okay? They're all corporations. And they're acting in the color of law. They're acting in the legal system. They're not acting in law, in lawfulness, God's law. There's a legal system. So there's the legal systems going on. You've got the financial system. There's different layers upon layers of the control system. You know, and they've pulled, like I said earlier, they've pulled all this together now. And as you rightly said, Henry, I don't think this is a beta test. This they're going to be moving forward. There may be a slight lull, like there might be now this summertime for a while, and maybe going into next year possibly. They may not go for the final thrust till next year, but the momentum, they're not going to go back to square one. They're moving forward on their, they're putting the pieces together, they're moving the pawns forward, and they're not putting them back. This is the end game. Over.
Yeah, you're right. I think we're being played. All governments are referred to as beasts in the Bible. They
correct.
All put millions of people's lives at risk. Whether you think they're good guys or not is irrelevant at this point in time. We have to deal with what's happening in the world today, okay? We can argue historical facts around the campfire after the big war has been won and all the truth is unsealed, because a lot of the truth has been hidden from us. So once we're armed with the truth, we can sit around and reassess. But, you know, historically, governments have never, ever been prepared. It's always the political party in charge, and they end up going to war with each other, and we do the fighting and the dying. And our people need to wake up to the fact that we're all being used, and we got to stop fighting each other. We're all related. We're all cousins. And we need to pull back from this whole Babylonian bullshit system and circle our wagons around our DNA brothers and sisters, and prepare for what's coming down the pike. I believe that's where we're at. But I'll tell you what, we're coming up on the 3-hour mark, so I'm going to take closing comments. I'll turn to you, Henry.
I don't know. That was a whole lot to absorb. I'm a open-minded person. And I'm going to contemplate what was talked about today. But like you just said, Dan, at some point in the future, when this is all said and done, all the truth will be revealed, and we'll see what happens. But it was a pleasure speaking to you, Mike, today, and Dan, and thank you for the time.
All right, Henry, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Henry. It's been a pleasure. In a few weeks' time again, I might, Daniel might ask me back. I'll have some other things I can talk about as part of the onion, as it were, or the part of the jigsaw puzzle. But I hope that, I haven't bored you today with lots of facts. The thing is, the key thing is, it's a lot of, it's a lot of dark stuff I've been talking about and everything else and doom and gloom type of thing. But this is information that people need to know, because you need to know your enemy. It's like, like Dan's mentioned about the art of war, Sun Tzu, you need to know your enemy. So forewarned is forearmed. So Henry, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and I really hope that people have actually got something out of today's discussions, etc. And if they want to contact me, please do. Dan's got my details. If anybody's interested in anything I've been talking about so far, I can send them actual factual evidence about it by email of whatever they what they want. If it's to do with our history here in the British Isles, of our people, whether it be political stuff, or history of the Europe, whatever it may be, I'd be more than happy to send through, as I've been doing with Patrick and yourself, Henry, and Lane, some other people. Anybody wants information, or if you just want to fellowship, the thing is, we can do a Zoom conversation privately or something like this, or WhatsApp. I'm more than happy, to do this. This is, I don't want to be, talking to my brothers and sisters out there. And there we are. So that's probably my final thoughts. And all I can say is thanks to Daniel today, my kin. For giving me so much exposure today, so much time to talk about things, and giving me the time to continue with the thread. Because, like I said, you have to put everything together. Stage one, stage A, B, C, D, to understand the whole thing, how it all comes together. Just one fact by itself is not enough. You have to have everything in the context to get the message through. So there we are. So God bless, Yah bless to all the brothers and sisters who've been listening today, and of course, anybody else will be listening on the download.
Yeah, amen. All right, Henry and Michael, thank you for joining us today. We'll do it again very soon. All right, guys.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Thank you, Henry.
Yep. Thank you.
Very good. All right, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and mute the mics there so we can close in prayer as we usually do. I got a little bit of a delay in some of the things that the software is trying to do, so bear with me here. I don't know if that's coming through on the what you're hearing. It's very annoying, I'll tell you. Well, we operate off a shoestring budget, so whatever we can get for the small amount of funds that are available, this is the best we have for right now. So a lot of chats went back and forth, a little bit of arguing by some of the brothers. I would remind everybody that we're not all going to agree, all right? Just keep that in mind. We're not going to agree on every single issue. The point of it is, as Michael and Henry alluded to, we are kinsmen. Just like my earthly brother and my children, we're not going to agree on every issue. It does not change the fact that we're brothers and sisters under Yahweh our King. That's the critical part, all right? Not whether we agree on everything, because you will never, ever come to that point. Understand that. We work things out, as Scripture says, line upon line, precept upon precept, and the Proverbs talk about the fact that Yahweh considers those who cause discord amongst the brethren is an abomination. It's one of the seven things listed in Proverbs that Yahweh hates, and he uses the word hates. So we don't want discord. We don't have to agree on everything. It's a sign of intelligence when two men can still maintain their relationship as brethren, even though they disagree on some point of history or whatever. Okay? Look to the fact that we're brethren, we're in the fight of our lives, this is the end of the age, and you need to keep that in mind as we go forward. Okay? You're not looking for people you agree with 100%. You're looking for people who are willing to fight, people who are willing to lock arms as brethren, and as Michael said, circle our wagons. Okay? Keep that in mind. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity for all of us to have a round table and share it with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We thank you for the technology. We thank you for the archives, the website. All these things are part of modern technology, which is not evil. Money is not evil. Technology is not evil. However, it can be used for both evil and good. So that is the key part. What is it being used for? That's what makes the difference. And so we do, again, thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the day that we have. We count our many blessings. We know that it is the end of the age. We can see very clearly the play of the Antichrists. But we also see a great awakening. I've seen it myself amongst family, amongst friends, people talking like I've never heard them talk before. 40% of the parents in America, according to a poll, 40% have said they will not return their children to the public school system. I've heard that from my own family and friends as well. There's no way they will return them. So hallelujah. There's a lot of bad things, Father Yahweh, but in the end, all things work to the good for those called by you, that your blessings upon them and they have a calling from you. All things work to the good. It's getting people to leave the churches that are full of liars and prostitutes, leave the school system, leave the theaters, leave the mainstream television broadcasting. Hallelujah! What do we care that what the Walking Dead do? Okay, he said, let the dead bury the dead. These people out here are just bags of bones going through life. They're that valley of dead and dry bones, and they're going to perish. So help us, Father, have good discernment on who's worthy of the truth and who is not. Who are our brethren and who are not. And we ask that you'd walk with us, Father. Forgive us our sins. Lift us up. Give us good discernment. Give us a yearning for fellowship amongst our brethren and a yearning to work together, to circle our wagons, to form our defenses, and to come into the end of this age as survivors, not and overcomers, not as victims. And again, thank you for our guests. Thanks for those who participated via the chat. Walk with us, guide us, and always, Father Yahweh, we ask for your protection against our enemies. We ask all this in the name of Yahweh, our King. Hallelujah.